I believe we have a quorum, and so I hereby call this meeting to order. My name is Elizabeth Quirk, and it is my honor and privilege to serve as your moderator for this special town meeting. Please allow me to introduce to you the LS singing group, Accent A Cappella, who will lead us in the singing of the national anthem, and then student Brett Sorbo will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I now invite you to rise, if you are able to do so, for the singing of the national anthem, followed immediately by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Thank you all again for your patience. I know this is really trying for everyone, and I really appreciate your patience. And I appreciate your being here. This is a very important topic for our town, obviously, and it really makes me so happy to have so many people here. So let's begin. For the record, I have examined and found in order the call of the meeting, the officer's return of service, and confirmation of timely mailing of the warrants to the residents. I can also report to the hall that the certified free cash available for this special town meeting, according to Christine Nyhan, the town accountant, is $1,362,070. Technically, the moderator is required to read each article and all of the related procedural documents to the hall verbatim. Sudbury has adopted the practice of omitting the reading of the warrant by the moderator with the consent of the hall. Therefore, may I have a motion to dispense with the reading of the call of the annual town meeting, the officer's return of service notice, and the individual articles of the warrant? May I have a second? All in favor? Oh, I'm sorry, this requires a majority to pass. All in favor, please signify. Any opposed? Thank you, that passes unanimously. Because we had to open up the overflow rooms this evening, it is necessary to appoint assistant moderators to manage debate and count the vote in those rooms. I have asked David Pendleton, Robert Coe, and George Connor to serve in this role. May I have a motion approving the appointment of Mr. Pendleton, Mr. Coe, and Mr. Connor as assistant town moderators for the December 2018 special town meeting? Is there a second? This requires a majority vote. All in favor? Thank you. Any opposed? That passes unanimously. I'd now like to take a moment to introduce our hardworking and dedicated town officials. And for the benefit of the hall, I would ask, when I say your name, to please raise your hand. To my right is Town Clerk Rosemary Harbell, and to her right is Assistant Town Clerk Rose Miranda. And then immediately to my left sits Town Council Jonathan Silverstein, and to his left is Town Manager Melissa Murphy Rodriguez. Then we have Bob Hardy, Chair of the Board of Selectmen, and Dan Cardy, Vice Chair of the Selectmen, followed by Select People Janie Dretler, Pat Brown, and Len Simon. My order is slightly askew, sorry. Then we have the Finance Committee, made up of Brian Semple, Chair, Jeff Barker, Vice Chair, Jeffrey Atwater, Susan Berry, Adrian Davies, Lisa Gutch, Glenn Migliozzi, Jean Nam, and Eric Polk. And then we have many other town staff on hand tonight, and I want to thank them all for doing lots of different jobs to help this meeting get off the ground here. We have, facing the stage, Mark Thompson, Technology Administrator, Patty Golden, Senior Administrative Assistant to the Town Manager, Marianne Bilodeau, the Assistant Town Manager and HR Director, Dennis Kahane, Finance Director, Christine Nyhan, Town Accountant, Cynthia Gary, Director of Assessing, Elaine Jones, Legal Assistant, Layla Frank, Information Officer, Beth Sudemeyer, Interim Director of Planning and Community Development, Lillian Vert, Planning and Zoning Coordinator, Kayla Wright, Park and Rec and Aquatic Director, Esme Green, Goodnow Library Director, Bill Barletta, Combined Facilities Director, Mark Herwick, Inspector of Buildings, Bill Murphy, Health Director, Debbie Deneen, Conservation Coordinator, Deb Galloway, Council on Aging Director. And then for public safety, we have John Whalen, who may still be doing, oh, no, he's here, thank you, who's been wonderful in helping us safely accommodate everyone tonight, the fire chief, and Scott Nix, likewise, instrumental in making this happen, and I think he may still be outside. Then we have Dan Nason, the DPW director, and Kevin McCabe, highway foreman, and Brad Crozier, SPS superintendent. I'd also like to introduce the members of the Sudbury Police Department who are here helping us tonight. We have Lieutenant John Peridot, Sergeant Aaron Corey, Patrolman Timothy DeSilva, Patrolman Zachary Shea, Patrolman Victoria Wagner, Patrolman Patrick Motuzas, Special Officer John Longo, Special Officer George Taylor. And would someone mind shutting the door at the back of the auditorium, please? Thank you. And speaking of the back of the auditorium, you will find fire exits located there, as well as in front through the stage. And if you need a bathroom, they are also in the hallway across from the auditorium, as well as some outside the cafeteria. And there were materials outside when you entered about various warrant articles. And there are extra warrants and single sheet copies of all the motions, I think, still in front of my podium. So if you would like anything delivered to you at your seat, the Boy Scouts could help with that. If you need a warrant, just raise your hand. Okay, Scouts, if you could take a look and come to the front and grab some of these orange warrants and the white pieces of paper and see who you might be able to deliver those to. Thanks. And while you're doing that, I will say thank you to you and your troops. So we have here tonight from Boy Scout Troop 63, led by Scoutmaster John Rotundo, Casey Tupta, Thomas Epic, Oliver Veland, Andrew Mossy, and Andrew Simon. And then we also have from Boy Scout Troop 61, led by Kim Darcy, we have Ryan Warzinski, Sam Arkoff, Zhao Meng, and William Maloney. And then there are some Girl Scouts who are selling refreshments from Troops 65 to 54. And they are Elizabeth Hittig, Bree Tuxbury, Aviel Stutman, Nia Grisco, Kaylee Gothy, Holly Harden, led by their parents, Shirley Hittig, Jan Tuxbury, Korma Stutman, Lynn Grisco, and Maddie Gothy. And I apologize for mangling names as I've been going here. And then I would be very remiss if I didn't give a big, humongous shout out to the staff and volunteers from Sudbury TV who have set up incredible amounts of audio and visual equipment today for this meeting to happen. And they are Lynn Puro, Terry Lockhart, Cliff McGann, Matt Cranson, and Davin Martin, who is an LS intern. I also need to thank Francie, whose last name just flew right out of my head, Zingale, Francie Zingale of LS for all of her logistical help, as well as the LS building and grounds crew for all the setup they've done today. So I think that is everyone. If I've missed any thanks, please know that I feel it, even if I missed your name. So now, before we begin consideration of the articles of the warrant, I'd like to take a few minutes to review some of the most important procedural ground rules that cover how special town meetings work. Whether you are a seasoned town meeting veteran or a first-time attender, please keep in mind these key points. First, every matter that is voted on at town meeting must come in the form of a motion. The warrant articles themselves are not self-starting, but a motion may be made to, quote, move in the words of the article. Unless a presenter moves in the words of the article exactly as printed in the warrant, he or she must explain to the hall the changes in the motion and how it differs from the words that appear in the warrant. All motions of substance, including main motions and motions to amend, must be delivered to me, to the town clerk, and to Mr. Thompson, the technology administrator, in writing before they are made. Please also bear in mind that you can only make a motion to amend when you are first recognized and not in the midst of or at the end of your remarks. In order to be fair to everyone, I will not entertain any motions to amend that do not strictly adhere to these parameters. When we are at the point of debate, if you wish to speak, please raise your card. And I will ask for your patience tonight because I will be managing debate not only in the auditorium but also on my little screen here. I have a view of the two of the three overflow spaces. And then when we get to it, I'll remind people in the cafeteria of how they can be heard because we did not have capacity to send a signal that would be received back in here. So the cafeteria is only able to watch us, but people in there will be invited to speak if they would like to by coming into one of the other spaces. So, but I'll get to that in a few minutes. Only registered voters of Sudbury, non-resident Sudbury employees, or elected state officials may speak without leave of the hall. Once I recognize you, a scout will deliver a microphone to you at your seat if you are in the auditorium. Once again, in the other two rooms, we will handle things a little differently. There are standing microphones set up in those spaces, so we will just have folks go to those microphones if they have comments. When you're handed the microphone, it will already be on. And regardless of what room you're in, please just wait to be recognized before you start speaking into any of the mics, because otherwise my head will pop off. Every time you address the hall, wherever you are, please say your name and your address because the town clerk needs to keep a careful record of who says what. And let's see. According to our bylaws, presenters of articles may speak for a maximum of 10 minutes and all other speakers for a maximum of 5, unless additional time is granted by the hall. I have asked Layla Frank to monitor the time of all speakers, and I will do my best to ensure that proceedings move along crisply. And I would, especially tonight, given how many people are here, ask that if you do feel the need to speak or feel moved to speak, that you try to say your point very succinctly. And I think everyone would appreciate that. And now a few words about a procedure called calling the question. For those of you who are new to town meeting, a motion to call or move the question is a request to end all debate and move directly to a vote on the pending motion. A motion to call the question is not itself debatable and requires a two-thirds vote to pass. Any motion to move the question or call the question will be taken up as any other motion made from the floor. And please understand that I have the right to rule that a motion to call the question is out of order if I believe that it unfairly or prematurely limits the voters' rights to hear answers to questions or to better understand a motion or amendment. And some notes on voting. Each article in your warrant describes the quantum of votes necessary for a motion under that article to pass. I will remind the hall of the requisite quantum before each vote, and then ask all present to signify their votes in favor or against a motion by raising your cards. I will then count the vote and announce the result. If a vote is too close for me to call by a show of hands, I will call for a counted vote. Given the large attendance tonight, I have decided in consultation with the town clerk to use paper ballots to count any vote that is too close for me to call. Given the substantial amount of time it takes to do a count in this manner, I ask that you not request such a procedure unless you are certain that I have miscalculated the vote. And in turn, I assure you that unless I am completely sure of the results of a vote by the show of cards, I will call for a counted vote myself. And lastly, a word about decorum and my power as moderator to exercise discretion in managing debate. Given the deep divisions that we can all see on the national stage, I have a charge for all of us here tonight to prove wrong those who say there's no hope for civil debate and dialogue. I firmly believe that on almost all issues of any complexity, reasonable minds can differ. A healthy respect for both sides of an argument is essential if we are to achieve our goal of acting in the best interests of Sudbury. It takes courage to rise in a public forum and speak one's mind. I ask that you treat every speaker tonight with courtesy and respect, no matter how strongly you may disagree with his or her point of view. To that end, I will not allow any clapping or hissing or booing or other audible noise for or against any speakers, either during or after their presentations. Likewise, having the floor at town meeting brings with it a responsibility to be mindful of one's tone and choice of words. It is within my powers as moderator to terminate the right to speak of anyone who makes disrespectful comments, whether directed at a voter, a speaker, or a town official. I have been approached by citizens who have correctly pointed out that every warrant article, except Article 5, is necessary as part of the negotiated settlement between the town and Quarry North Road, LLC. In light of this, it would make logical sense to address Article 5 after we deal with the others. But we have a bylaw that requires a vote to change the order in which we consider any articles in the warrant. So I will now entertain a motion to take Article 5 after Article 6. Thank you. Is there a second? This needs to pass by a 4/5 vote. All in favor? Thank you. All opposed? That was nearly unanimous in this room. I will ask the moderators, I'll go one room at a time. In the black box, what was the vote?
Unanimous.
Did everyone hear? I think it was unanimous.
In favor.
Oh, 1 minute. Okay, and I need to change how I assess the vote. The vote was by well more than 4/5. The town clerk's reminding me that nearly unanimous is not a thing. It just is not, it's like really unique, you know, in that realm. So by well more than 4/5 in this room, and it was unanimous in the black box. Okay, lecture hall.
Well, more than the required 4/5.
Thank you. And I understand from the police chief that the cafeteria is still assessing its vote. So we're going to wait 1 second and give the cafeteria a chance to vote. I don't know how many of you know the LS cafeteria, but it's U-shaped. So I feel very badly for the person that I roped into moderating in the cafeteria. Sorry, George Connor.
While we're waiting, if anybody didn't get a copy of the white sheet, what that shows is what they think the actual motions are going to be on the left, as opposed to what. So if you'd like to.
Okay, I think we're almost ready to proceed. Actually, could I have silence in this room so that we can hear on the phone from the cafeteria? Thank you so much. Never mind. Talk amongst yourselves. Thank you for your patience. This will just be a problem right now. I think we're going to figure out logistics for the rest of the evening to be smoother. I appreciate your tolerance. To do the vote? Oh. So they have to vote the cafeteria in sections because they can't see the whole room at the time. So, oh, look. Okay, let's do that. Yep. An intercom. Thank you, Terry. Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I think we're hopefully closing in on the result from the cafeteria. Just a little bit of history for you while we're waiting, if anyone cares. I have a really interesting chart from the town clerk. This is completely just to use time. This has no bearing on anything, except that it's very interesting. So when we were trying to decide how many people that we might get tonight, our wonderful town clerk put together some statistics for town meeting attendance since 1996. And by my calculation, the greatest percentage of registered voters who ever showed up at a single night of town meeting was 0.07%. 0.07 of one, 0.07. So I took that number times the current number of registered voters in Sudbury. Oh, we could play a game. Okay, so who thinks they know? How many registered voters do you think are in Sudbury? Shout it out. I heard 12,000. That's the closest. It's 12,826 registered voters. So I did a little math, and I said, okay, what's 0.07% of that? And it came out to, a little less than 1,000. So, okay, great. If we set up for 1,500 people, we'll have plenty of seats. But this is amazing. This is awesome. I love the fact that there are so many people at town meeting. This makes a moderator very happy. So, I think we're closing in on 3,000 people here. That's awesome. How great is Sudbury? This is so awesome. Everyone's shaking their head up here. This is at annual town meeting this past year, how many did we have? We had 485 people. So I encourage you all to come back for town meeting in May. It's fun. See how much fun this is? We have been here almost an hour, and we've done half of a vote. This is very good. And there are only 6 articles. How many were at the election? I don't have that information. You can ask me how many people... Oh, we could play another game. All right. How many people do you think were at annual town meeting April 1st, 2002? Anybody? 900. And over what I think must have been a 3-night town meeting in 2003, there were 2,167 people over 3 nights. So that was good. But this is record-setting. This is an exciting night. Any word? George says unanimous. All right, we have a result, I think, if I just read the town clerk's phone upside down correctly. Unanimous. It's unanimous in the cafeteria. All right, so with that bit of housekeeping out of the way, now we can get serious again. So I appreciate your humoring me with my fun facts. Hopefully I won't need that again. So, also in light of the interconnectedness of Articles 1 through 4 and 6, I have analyzed a number of possible ways to streamline tonight's proceedings within the legal and procedural constraints of town meeting. So I have decided, in consultation with town council, that the best way to do so is to entertain a motion to consolidate debate and the vote on the motions under Articles 1 through 4 and 6. This will allow us, you'll have a chance, hang on. This will allow us to fully debate these related motions at once, as well as have a broader discussion of the pros and cons of the development generally. This disclosure does not foreclose the making of motions to amend any of the main motions. So I will now entertain a motion to consolidate debate and conduct a single vote on the motions made under Articles 1 through 4 and 6. Thank you. Is there a second? Great. And I'm happy to debate this if people would like to, but we can also just move on to a vote on this if it seems that would suit the crowd. The sense of the hall and the auditorium is to move on to a vote on this. So,
hey Beth,
unless
can I
get
ask
a sense
question
from any of the other rooms that there are rabid opponents or people who'd like to debate this, we'll move on to a vote. In the black box, does anyone want to debate this?
We had a question from the floor, and would this be a two-thirds vote? The consolidated articles, would that represent a two-thirds
vote? Oh, good point. This would just be a majority vote for the consolidation piece. But yes, then
moderator.
Once it's consolidated, the vote on the substance is two-thirds. Anything in the lecture hall?
Yeah, Madam Moderator, I believe that if you do consolidate it, then that means that the consolidated motion requires two-thirds. Is that right?
Yes.
Even though some of the individual articles would not require two-thirds if
That's
they were
correct.
Voted on separately.
Yep. That is correct.
Everybody clear on that in this room?
Okay. So, yes. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm happy to have questions. Yes, please wait for a microphone. Hang on. Yeah, I want everyone to understand what we're doing. I don't want to plow ahead just because it's crowded and it's 8:27.
Anybody here?
I'm sorry. Joyce Fantasia, 15.
I'm sorry. Hang on a second. We didn't hear your name.
Joyce Fantasia, 15 Willard Grant Road.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It just isn't clear what you said.
Sure.
I understand it is we're going to consider all of the motions that have to do with the Article 1 through 4 and 6 together.
Correct.
But are we going to get to vote on each article separately or only as one vote?
No, the intention behind this is to streamline everything into one debate and then one vote collectively on those motions. Article 5, we just decided to take at the end, after Article 6.
So we only have one vote on all five of those?
That's correct. Yep, that's what we're trying to do. Thank you. Are there other questions? Okay, I don't see any. And there, I'm getting the word that there are no questions from the cafeteria, so I will move on to the vote on whether to consolidate, debate, and conduct a single vote on the motions made under Articles 1 through 4 and 6. I just got lost in my own process. All in favor of such a motion, please raise your cards. All opposed? That passes by well more than a majority in the auditorium.
Well more than a majority in the black box room.
Thank you.
Well more than a majority in the lecture hall.
Thank you. Hang on. Okay, thank you. Sorry, that was just a question from the cafeteria. It did not have a bearing on their voting, but I'll answer it to everyone. The question was, how is it that we can include Article 2 in this consolidated vote because Article 2 is being indefinitely postponed? And the answer to that is that we have to still vote on indefinite postponement. So we have now wrapped that vote as well into the consolidated vote. But you'll understand all of this a little bit more when we walk through each article and when the motions are made and become live, as it were. Right now there are no motions yet. We're just talking about how to talk about the motions. So that's a lot of talking. And I think a lot of people have a lot to say. So let me regroup. Hang on, Tom. Yes, I forgot to announce. It passed in the cafeteria by well more than a majority. So we are all set then to proceed with this consolidated idea. Okay, so now I'm going to do what I said I would do, which is to walk through each article and take a motion so that we then have active legal motions to discuss and then vote on. So, Article 1. I believe Steve Garvin is making the motion.
Steve Garvin, 26 Bowditch Road. I move to amend the zoning bylaw, Article 9, by inserting a new section, 4700A, the North Road Residential Overlay District, in the form set forth in the handout entitled 4700A, North Road Residential Overlay District, and further, to amend the zoning map to add the North Road Residential Overlay District, which shall be coextensive with the existing research district, and further, that the town clerk be authorized to make changes to the numbering of this bylaw only for the purpose of ensuring consistency with the numbering format of the zoning bylaw.
Is there a second? Thank you. And normally at this point we would have a presentation, but because we've consolidated everything, we will have one presentation after we've walked through each article. And likewise, I will also, after we've done that with each article, I will then at that point ask for the boards to weigh in with their views on the articles. So now I will move on to Article 2. And the motion for that, I believe, is Selectman Carty.
Article 2, amend zoning Malone Smart Growth Overlay District, move to indefinitely postpone.
Is there a second? Great. Article 3, another motion by Steve Garvin.
I move that the town approve the master development plan submitted by Quarry North Road LLC for a redevelopment plan proposing up to 2,500 square feet of commercial space and 173 units of market-rate housing, including 80 units of age-restricted active adult housing and related infrastructure and amenities within the North Road Residential Overlay District at the Malone property on Route 117 North Road, as shown on a plan entitled Master Development Plan prepared for Quarry North Road LLC by Stantec, dated November 30th, 2018. In your handout, it says November 26th, but November 30th is the last official revision on that plan.
Thank you. Is there a second? Okay, great. Article 4, Selectman Hardy with the motion.
Move in the words of the article conveying approximately 36.7 acres of land in Sudbury and Concord, excluding the approximately 9.9 acres of land previously designated for conservation purposes, pursuant to the vote under Article 10 of April 7, 1998 Annual Town Meeting.
Is there a second? There is. Thank you. And Article 6, motion by Selectwoman Brown.
Move in the words of the article.
Is there a second? There is. Thank you. Okay, I now recognize Town Manager Melissa Murphy-Rodriguez for a presentation on the Malone project. I understand that she will need more than the allotted 10 minutes for this, and since we have consolidated everything into this one discussion, I thought it would be proper to ask for a vote from the hall to grant her 30 minutes for her presentation. Okay, then maybe I would ask how many minutes it could reasonably be given in. Well, I didn't take a proper vote. I heard grumbling, but that's not...
We turned it on.
My rationale, if you would like to hear it, is that this is a really complicated process. I know a lot of information has been out there for a while, and there was the meeting where people could get this information, but I also think it's important for everyone in the room to hear it in a very condensed form, again, just to remind us all. But that's my opinion, and it does, for beyond the 10 minutes, does need to be voted on. So I will ask for a vote of whether or not to allow the town manager 30 minutes for a presentation. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed. That passes by more than a majority in the auditorium. Let me ask about the other rooms.
In the
black box?
In the black box room, there is a very clear majority opposed, at least 2/3.
In the lecture hall, the motion fails.
It carries in the lecture hall?
It fails in the lecture
fails
hall.
Fails in the lecture hall. What about the black box?
A black box room, it fails.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Fails in the black box.
It fails in the black box room.
Okay, and I saw that it was a close call in here, so I'm going to disallow. Excuse me. Please do not shout out. You have 10 minutes. Thank you.
Melissa Rodriguez, town manager. First slide, please. Today we're talking about the Malone property, 46.6-acre parcel located on Route 117 at 10 North Road. Of the 46.6 acres, the town is proposing to sell the 36.7 acres and retain 9.9. Next slide. This slide shows the location of the Malone property. Next slide. This slide shows the various parcels of the Malone property, one being in Concord, one belonging to the Water District, one belonging to a resident, and the final belonging to the Conservation Division. Next slide. It's just a site plan showing the actual conditions. Next slide. Tonight, we're also talking about Sudbury Station. It's a 40B development proposed for 39.87 acres of land off Concord Road behind the Mount Pleasant Cemetery, 250 units currently being appealed at the Housing Appeals Committee after the Zoning Board of Appeals awarded a comprehensive permit for 30 units. Next slide. This is a rendering from Parkinson Field of the Sudbury Station project. Next slide. This is a rendering of the Sudbury Station project from the town cemetery. Next slide, please. The town is arguing at the HAC, the Housing Appeals Committee, that local concerns at this location outweigh the town's need for affordable housing. Since 2010, only 43 cases have been decided at the HAC. 32 of those were won by the developer. 6 of those cases involved local concerns, and the HAC found that the need for the affordable housing outweighed local concerns. I will just state that we determined that there is a very slim chance prevailing at the HAC. No cases on local concerns, as we are trying to argue, have prevailed since 2010. Next slide. Total spent to date on Sudbury Station litigation is $329,146. If we continue with these appeals, we are slated to spend an additional $160,000, and we are slated to go to trial with the HAC on February 5th. Next slide, please. Quarry North, as proposed, was 333 units, a $1 million cash payment, a transfer of the Sudbury Station land and town center, and the ending of the Sudbury Station litigation. Next slide. This map shows the town center land which the town would be receiving as part of this land swap. Next slide. After negotiations with the developer under the development agreement, the number of units was reduced from 333 to 274. 101 of those would have been under a Massachusetts General Law Chapter 40R. Unfortunately, we're not able to pursue that tonight, although that may be a possibility in the future, and currently would be under a LIP process. 26 of those would be affordable. All 101 would count in the town's subsidized housing inventory pending state approval. 173 would be market rate, and 80 of those units would be age restricted. Next slide, please. There still would be a $1 million cash payment, the transfer of the Sudbury Station land, and $100,000 for the Water District to test wells. Next slide, please. This is the site plan that you will discuss later tonight. Next slide, please. The subsidized housing inventory is a calculation of the percentage of affordable units in a community. Our goal is to stay at or above 10%. It's recalculated every 10 years after each census. Next slide. In 2020, our projections are 10.17%, only 10 units over the 10% threshold. In 2030, with the Quarry North project, we'll be at 10.60%. In 2030, with just Sudbury Station, we'd be at 12.68%. With neither development, 9.96%, making us vulnerable to a 40B project. Next slide. Next slide. As part of the development agreement, as I explained, we were able to negotiate a unit reduction, not only decreasing the number of units, but also increasing the number of age restricted. The projected population for the project is 499. Next slide. In addition to the exchange of land and the $1 million cash payment, the developer has agreed to the following. $1 million to be used for development mitigation, $50,000 to pay for studies like traffic, school capacity, and planning, $100,000 towards the legal expenses of the Sudbury Station HAC case from 9/11 on, $54,716 waiver of land court fees plus 12% interest, a 100-foot landscaping berm along North Road, a 75-foot building setback from the property line adjacent to Northwoods, a local preference for units in the LIP, the cost of December 11, 2018 town meeting, a traffic management plan with a shuttle, and per capita mitigation payment. Next slide. The town also performed a traffic study and peer reviewed that study at the developer's expense. That study occurred September 20th and September 27th. The analysis showed that the impact on the intersections in question did not change in between the build and no-build analysis. In other words, the intersections maintained their ratings with or without Quarry North. It should be important to note that the development from Maynard Crossing was included in the analysis for the build and no-build. Next slide. This is a summary of what they found for the peak trips. It's important to note that North Road actually carries about 12,400 vehicles each day, and these numbers were actually completed before the town negotiated 20 more age-restricted units. Next slide. The consultants recommended the following improvements, mitigation and cost estimates. These are all necessary independent of the development. We're looking for a traffic signal at Mossman, a turn lane at the Cummings Office Park, a turn lane on Plainfield. Next slide. We found that there was significant issues with the traffic lights and that we needed updated technology of those. They're actually running out of sync today, and we're having premature greens. So 9 Acre, Dakin and 26, and Mossman. The developer has agreed to give the town $1 million towards such mitigation. Next slide. We also commissioned a school capacity study to evaluate the elementary schools. We looked at that development as if it were to open tomorrow. Next slide. The town used the actuals at Meadowalk to estimate the number of students that were expected at Quarry North. The Manawak is approximately 50% rented. They're seeing 58 students today. We're projecting 105 students there total. Next slide. Using that analysis of the actual students seen at Meadowak, we determined that there will be 99 students coming out of Quarry North. Typically, we see 0.67 children per home in Sudbury. Next slide. 72 of those students would be in the elementary, K through 8. And 27 would be at the high school. Next slide. We also projected the number of school-age students at Sudbury Station using the same metric and came to 116. Next slide. The capacity study also studied the three elementary schools that could be impacted by development. Haynes was the one that we checked for the Quarry North project. It's estimated to increase by 47 students, 7.78 children per grade. Based on estimates, all of the grades at Haynes would stay under the district minimum except kindergarten and second grade, which may require additional classrooms. There is adequate space to home the 47 new students. Haynes was built for 432. Post-development, there will be 404. Based on the capacity study and enrollment projections, some additional staff could be needed. Next slide. The population at Curtis has decreased by 67 in the last 5 years. This project is projected to increase that population by 23. Next slide. The capacity study also looked at noise and Nixon for Sudbury Station students. Noise capacity per SPS is 592. Post-Sudbury Station development, it would be 597. Nixon's capacity is 390. Post-development, it would be 393. Next slide. We also completed a fiscal analysis. Next slide. For the Quarry North project, we'd be estimating, and this is a very conservative estimation, but $2,032,140 in property taxes per year. Excise tax of $96,000. Next slide. We also determined the non-school expenditures that were population-sensitive costs and determined that the non-school impact was $283,061. Next slide. We also determined the school expenses by basically taking the additional administrative staff that we heard that they would need and then multiplying all of the instructional items by the percentage of new students, and we determined that it would cost $1,268,553 per year. Next slide. At the end of the day, with the revenues and expenditures that we forecasted, we would have a total excess revenue annually for the Quarry North project of $576,526. Next slide. We did the same thing for Sudbury Station and determined that they would operate in a deficit $662,982 a year based on that project. Next slide. We did an appraisal of the property. It was raised at $2.8 million, $100,000 per usable acre. Next slide. This basically is a discussion of Quarry North for Sudbury Station. We can continue on, please. Next slide. Both the police chief and fire chief have stated that Sudbury Station is far inferior in regards to traffic as well as pedestrian safety. They've deemed Malone the better site for this development, and the fire chief has confirmed that capital needs for trucks and buildings exist regardless of Malone. To be clear, Malone does not create capital needs. Next slide. These commissions and committees and departments have all supported the Malone project, the Board of Health, Historic Districts, Conservation Commission, Land Acquisition Review, Planning Board, Sudbury Housing Authority, as of tonight, the Sudbury Housing Trust, the Zoning Board of Appeals, the Finance Committee, the Board of Selectmen, DPW Director, the Building Inspector, the Fire Chief, the Conservation Coordinator, the Police Chief, the former Director of Planning, and the Town Engineer. This chart is an analysis of Quarry North versus Sudbury Station. The location of Quarry North, former gravel pit. The location of Sudbury Station, historic town center. Total units, Quarry North, 274. Total units, Sudbury Station, 250. Bedroom count, Quarry North, 490. Bedroom count, Sudbury Station, 409. Acres, Quarry North, 36.7. Acres, Sudbury Station, 39.87. Population, Quarry North, 500. Population, Sudbury Station, 461. School-aged children, Quarry North, 99. Sudbury Station, 116. Revenue to town from Quarry North, $2,128,140. Sudbury Station, $1,056,262. Cost to town, $1.5 million. Cost of Sudbury Station, $1.7 million. Number of age-restricted units at Quarry North, 80. Zero at Sudbury Station. Number of affordable units at Quarry North, 26. Number of Sudbury Station, 63.
Hi, Melissa. I understand it's been time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, no clapping, no clapping, no clapping. Thank you, no clapping.
Madam Moderator?
Yes.
For Articles 1 through 6, Steve Garvin and I do have presentations available if the town so wants to have them.
Okay, I will find out. First, though, before we do that, I want to make two apologies. One is to the cafeteria. I did not include your assessment of whether or not to allow Melissa extra time, and it was the same as everyone else's, which is that to not allow time, but I apologize to those of you in the cafeteria that I did not wait to find out that it was, in fact, a failed vote in there as well. And the second apology is to the people in the black box. I guess there was some issue of seeing the slides in real time, and we're going to sort that out. I'm assuming, black box, that you can hear us.
Yeah, we can hear you fine, but the slides were cutting in and out for a while.
Okay, so there was some delay in the slides or something?
Well, it wasn't just a delay. We would see just a blank screen from time to time.
Okay. Then we will make the right people aware of that and try to address that, although we may be done with slides. So the next question I have is, would the hall like to hear presentations from Steve Garvin and Melissa on the articles themselves? If you would like to hear presentations that would be brief, I understand less than 5 minutes apiece, probably in some cases just a minute, on the articles themselves, please raise your card. Okay,
raise
if you would prefer to skip
presentation.
Further presentations, please raise your card. Okay, so the auditorium has voted against further presentations. Let me assess the other rooms.
Black box seems to be against by majority.
Okay, so the black box says no. How about the lecture hall?
The lecture hall is against by a majority.
Okay, and we will wait and find out if the cafeteria would like to hear further presentations. However, this does not get you out of listening to one more thing, which Town Council reminds me is mandatory under the law, which is a report from the Planning Board, because we are discussing zoning articles. Thank you, Planning Board members in the audience who were going to remind us of this. So perhaps we will just proceed with... Okay, so the cafeteria did not want to have more than what is legally required. So we will now move on and receive the Planning Board's report on the articles that they have to report on. So we should get all the boards to report. Oh, did I skip that entirely? Apparently I did. Okay, so we're going to hear reports now, but they'll be brief. So I will start with Selectmen. I'm sorry. I apologize to the boards for going off the rails there for a moment. So on Articles 1 through 4 and 6, what is the position of the selectmen?
The selectmen unanimously support Article 1.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay. The selectmen unanimously support Article 1.
I'm asking about the group of them, okay. Articles 1 through 4 and
Article,
6.
Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, Article 4, and Article 6. We are unanimous on all of them.
Okay, thank you. And the Finance Committee?
Turn it on,
I think, Brian.
Brian, you got to turn it on.
Use mine.
Finance Committee. The Finance Committee supports Articles 1 through 4 and Article 6 by a vote of 8 to 1. We took a look at, and this is very brief, we took a look at really two areas here. So one is we ignored anything around traffic, safety, overcrowding schools, et cetera, because we figured that was being taken up other committees. We specifically looked just at the financial impact to this. And we looked at it on two dimensions. So one was the impact of the town's operating budget, in other words, what we've got to put out each year from revenue expenses. And the second one area we looked at was the impact to potential long-term capital expenditures we'd have to do to maintain our 40B housing stock within an acceptable limit. In other words, we wanted to make sure that regardless of which one we went, if we went down Quarry North or the Sudbury Station path, that in 2030, we suddenly weren't in a situation where, like, hey, we've got to go now start buying uptown land again at $5 million, $10 million a pop to prevent additional 40B developments in town. So when we looked at the operating budget impact, one of them is Quarry North is around plus $500,000, round numbers. Sudbury Station, negative $500,000 on an annual basis, again, round numbers. There's a pretty big gap between those. We couldn't rationalize how that gap would have gotten closed. The Quarry North development certainly requires that the market rate ownership units get sold. But at the end of the day, we have a shot at making this not as impactful to town financially with the Quarry North development. And then we looked at the SHI inventory and our 40B buffer. We're comfortable that if we continue to develop affordable housing units in town through some of the existing programs, such as the Sudbury Housing Authority and the Sudbury Housing Trust, some of the money that comes in every year through the CPA funding. And when we looked at the town's growth projections, we're comfortable with the 43 or so unit buffer that we'll have in 2030 if we were to go forward with the Quarry North project.
Great, thank you. And now the Planning Board. Mr. Garvin, would you like to report for the Planning Board?
Yes. The Planning Board unanimously supports the zoning amendment presented in the articles to establish the North Road Overlay District. The zoning changes are aimed at permitting innovative redevelopment in the Research District along 117 and establishing a Malone property. The proposed bylaw is highly consistent with the redevelopment of the corridor as envisioned in numerous prior planning studies and utilizes well-established planning criteria with consideration for both immediate area and townwide impacts. The master development shall require approval of the planning board subsequent to town meeting approval. The permitting process is comprehensive and requires public hearings, in-depth traffic studies, stormwater management plans and calculations, landscaping plans, fiscal impact reports. It does not negate the need for local permits for Planning Board, Conservation, and the Board of Health. It is the opinion of the Planning Board that these zoning changes facilitate the development and approval of the master plan for Quarry North and serves to meet town goals for the Malone property and an elegant remedy to an arduous situation with the Sudbury Station project. We are confident that as a town we have illustrated to the town that the benefits will outweigh the impacts and that this is a unique opportunity for Sudbury in the town's best interest. The Planning Board enthusiastically requests that you support all these articles.
Thank you. And now we are ready to move on to debate. Yes, sir. Hang on, let's get you a microphone if you... Yep. So that would be part of the debate. Debate means just think. speaking by people other than town official people or proponents of things. So thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. Yes. So before we do that, though, I just want to say again how great it is to have everyone here. The final count is about 2,000 people. So that's really, really cool. So thank you for being here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your patience with my fumbling through this a little bit unusual process. So it's a little unique. Come on, I'm trying. I apologize. But in all seriousness, of course, the challenge when there is something that this many people care this strongly about is to not let emotions rule the day. So here's my request as we do start talking about this. Please continue to always care deeply and strongly about things. But when you speak, please be thoughtful and considerate. Please don't disparage any people or groups or use any kind of disrespectful language. As I said before, I will not tolerate any clapping, hissing, any kind of audible reactions from anybody. If you have questions, please address them to me, and then I will send them out to the appropriate person to answer them. So I don't want to have any kind of direct debate between anybody. Everything goes through the moderator just so that it stays contained. So, and then if debate devolves, which I don't expect it to, I have a good feeling about tonight, but if it did happen to devolve, I will just stop debate and we'll move right to a vote. So, but, and also the last thing, I said this before, but because we have so many people here who might want to have something to say, and I want to make sure that we cover a broad range of topics, I would really ask that you not reiterate points that have already been made or ask questions that have been answered just to sort of, you know, magnify the importance of it or anything like that. So succinctness should be our watchword, although I know that right now I am not being very succinct. So I will stop talking now. After I say, if you're in the cafeteria and you would like to speak, please let your moderator know. And then I believe we have communicated to the moderator that we will allow maybe about four people at a time to come from the cafeteria into this room. And then they can wait here in the front of the room so they're not blocking any fire exits. And then when they are recognized, they can use the standing mic to speak. So that's how we'll handle that. And then I will try to be disciplined about looking at the screens that show the other two rooms. So if someone in those two rooms has something to say, they can follow their moderator's instructions, which I believe are to go to the standing mics in there. So, and I've also, and I'll say this to the moderators, just shout out if I have ignored your room and you have people who'd like to speak, because I'm keeping my eye on a lot of moving parts. So I see someone standing with a card raised already, and we're ready to begin debate. So I will recognize the woman in the yellow sweater.
Thank you.
And, one thing, I'll just remind you to state your name and address for the record for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. My name is Joyce Santasia, and I live at 15 Willard Grant Road. I would like to present the long view of the question before us. Let me just say, I'm sure that anyone who serves on a town board has the best interest of the town at heart. No one does this for money or glory. I have also served on the town board in the past. The problem is, not everyone agrees what is in the town's best interest, but this time the residents have a vote. We have lived here 40 years and raised two sons here. We chose Sudbury because the commute into Boston from the west was by far better than the commute from the North Shore or the South Shore, and it was beautiful. We bought North Sudbury because even then Route 20 had more traffic than 117. Route 20 then would be unrecognizable to you today. There was a supermarket, a gas station, and where Sudbury Crossing is, a golf driving range, and yes, Raytheon, where Whole Foods is now. A town changes one decision at a time, and in my opinion, today's Route 20 is not an improvement. There was once a plan to build a bypass off Route 20, as Weston has done, to locate retail, town center development out of the east-west Route 20 commuter traffic. That was a good plan, but it didn't happen. I believe in the need for affordable housing, but I also believe that every residential subdivision built in town should include 10% affordable housing. That's inclusionary. I don't believe in segregating affordable housing to densely developed concrete canyons, but that's what we have done. And we have achieved our 10% mandated requirement without Quarry North or Sudbury Center. I don't want either one of them built, because in either location, it will have a negative impact on the town. For me, the question is not so much can we afford it, but how will it impact the quality of life for everyone? Obviously, Route 20 and 117 carry the heaviest and worst traffic, especially during commuting hours, and the duration of those commuting windows get longer every year. Now, as everyone uses their navigational devices, traffic filters through residential neighborhoods searching for a shortcut to avoid traffic. As a result, I have noticed solid fences going up in front of houses on residential streets in an attempt to shield themselves from the traffic. It's changing the streetscape in neighborhoods. It feels like traffic in Sudbury is at a tipping point. Building either one of these developments will contribute to this trend. North Road 117 can't be looked at in isolation and shouldn't become a sacrificial lamb. Today, commuter traffic is a bumper-to-bumper creeping snake of cars. It has also become, like Route 20, a major east-west commuting corridor that serves communities far to the west of Sudbury, Sudbury town borders. What happens to our west affects 117 traffic, and we have no control of that. For instance, that very large parcel of former digital land in Maynard is being developed, and whether it is commercial or residential, it will impact 117 and 27. Camp Suataro will be closing and selling their land in the next couple of years. That is another large piece of land with an unknown future. Either or both of these outcomes, added to Quarry North, will result in a much greater impact on 117 and Sudbury as a whole than current models predict. At one time in the past, 117 was being considered for a scenic byway status. That would have been that would have conferred protection from certain development. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But it is a scenic byway, nonetheless. From Sudbury to the Waltham border, it has fields, farmland, meadows, woodland, rivers, wetlands, ponds, and conservation land. Do we really win if we turn our backs on the little that is left of the old Sudbury and turn 117 into another Route 20 for spite? It is unfortunate that the question before us has so divided the town. We are not South Sudbury and North Sudbury. We are one town, not two. Most people I know don't want either development. Neither one is going to improve the quality of life for all our residents, quite the contrary. I urge you to vote no on Article 1. This is a hostile attack. The town doesn't want Sudbury Station, and neither do the residents. We don't want it, and we don't need it. To appease the developer and gain some cooperation from them, the town offered up the Maloney land. We don't want that either.
I'm sorry, ma'am, that's your timer. Do you have just your last sentence
last
that you're wrapping
sentence.
Up? Okay.
Last sentence. We should fight back. Other towns like Sherbin, Dover, and Weston take control of their future and fight back. We can too. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So many cards. You know, I'm going to exercise my need to call on the black box. And so I see someone at the microphone in the black box that I will now recognize. So, sir, in the black box theater, is the microphone working?
My name is Gary Bean, 3 Wilshire Street in Sudbury. I'm trying to figure out what our real choices are. The first thing that comes to mind is We have no choice about meeting the requirements for affordable housing. That's a mandate from the state. The second thing I have to accept is that the mandate of the appeal zoning board, is not to find a middle ground between a 40B developer and a town. It's to make sure that affordable housing gets built in all of the towns. And it does not consider, apparently, the local impact. It seems to me very clearly that the choice is not between having no developments at either site or having one or the other. That first option isn't available to us. It's highly unlikely that we will win and we'll spend a good bit of money losing. I've been following this since it got on my radar a while back. I've looked at the numbers. I've listened to the reports from the various boards. And I have to say, in terms of what's good for Sudbury, especially in the long run, is the Quarry North option. It would be nice if we had the time and leisure and opportunity to create real affordable housing in Sudbury, as we have been doing, but we don't. I'm going to misquote Benjamin Franklin. I'm not saying that Quarry North is the best possible outcome of all possible outcomes. I think it's the only one available to us. Any deal has parts of it that we don't like, but I think our options are clear, either Sudbury Station or Quarry North, and I think Quarry North is better. That's why I searched desperately for a parking space this evening and finally found one, and then rushed to get in and have a seat here, but I would have stood in the back to have the opportunity to say this. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, in the middle, Mr. LaFerrera. And then I'll look at the balcony, and then I'll look at the lecture hall, and then I'll take a cafeteria person. I'm going to try to keep some rhythm going. You have 5 minutes? No, you have five. You're not a proponent of an article, so you have 5 minutes under our bylaws. Thanks.
Then I will keep it brief. Joe LaFerrera, 47 Windmill Drive. Obviously, I'm too loud for the system. We are being presented today with what is really a false choice, to choose between Sudbury Station, 250 units, and Quarry North is 274 units. That is what has been presented to you today. That's what's been presented to the town departments. I put to you that is not really the choice here. The choice here is whether or not we continue the fight that has been going on since the initial 40B application came in with the developers, or give up that fight. And I think that you will find that there are reasons to continue the fight. Whether you believe that ultimately the town will be victorious at the HAC appeal or the court appeal, or whether you think it will not, because those appeals will take a significant amount of time, and that is partly what gives us leverage, and leverage is what has so far been used to help push the developer to compromise and to give us complexes that are less egregious than what they started with. The developers really, really want Quarry North to go through. That's why you've been getting the letters and the postcards and the phone calls. That's why they're offering to pay for this meeting. That's why they came out and have been showing up and putting all the efforts and all the money into what they have, because they want Quarry North. And the fact that they want Quarry North and Malone means that we have some leverage here. If we vote no today, that leverage is gone. Put yourself in the space of the developers and the head of the developers for a moment. If this vote goes ahead and we stop Quarry North, we vote these articles down, be the developer. You can either continue the fight for what I've been told would be another year or two at the HAC, in court, because even if the Housing Appeals Committee decides against the town, there could be an appeal and an appeal after that, and that takes significant time. That is something the developer does not want. That time is what has caused us to have leverage up till now. If we vote this down, then be the developer for a second. What do? You would continue the negotiations. And I posit to you, that is what we can use to help drive these complexes from the enormous size that we're looking at now to something more small and more manageable, even if we don't win at the HAC and we don't win in court. But whether or not that happens or not, I think, is also not a foregone conclusion. The numbers that we are hearing about the HAC appeal being so, those outlooks being so dim for us, that's looking at a very small slice of cases, approximately, I don't want to get the number wrong, but it's something on the order of 43 cases. If you go back and look at a larger group of cases, if you go back and look at 555 cases, which is what somebody has done, the percentages aren't nearly so grim. Those numbers, if you look at all those cases, 26% were decided in favor of the developer, but 5% were decided in favor of the towns, 45 had the cases withdrawn, and 26% settled. Settled. That's what we're looking at. It may well be true that something is going to get built in Sudbury, but what is not true and what is not determined and what we don't know is what it will be, what size it will be, what impact it will have. And I put to you that voting this down today is not, as it's been represented, the last opportunity. Voting this down today is, in fact, a way to exercise the leverage that we still have. We have an opportunity to do that. The developers are afraid of it, and that's why the developers have been putting all the energy that they have into trying to get this vote through today. They don't want to wait another 2 years. They don't want to give up any of what they've got, but there's a lot of money to be had here, and there is more that we can do. And so I put to you that that is what we should do. I also put to you that this has been done very quickly. A lot of the numbers that have come out, a lot of the reports that have come out, came out on the eve of the town forum, a forum which I will say was intended to show and pitch and sell the Quarry North project. People who were against the project were told not to present their arguments, but simply ask questions. Well, I'm presenting the arguments now, and I will tell you that a lot of the numbers don't add up. If you look at, for example, the $2.8 million assessment of Maloney, that is based on the assumption that the zoning stays as a research zoning. Obviously, if this project moves forward, the zoning changes to residential zoning, and the value of that property goes way up. So I think there are things to be...
That's your time, Mr. Leffert.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the balcony that would like to speak? Yes, I see a card over to my left. Is there a microphone on that side? No. Okay, so the Boy Scout, could you pass it all the way down the row? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm not sure. Just keep talking and see if it clicks in. No.
Here we go.
Here you go. Yep.
Steve Lansendorf, 43 Hawes Road. Move to amend Article 6.
Move to amend Article 6. Do you have three copies in writing of your motion to amend?
I do.
Okay, you can bring those down.
Should I bring them down personally or have a scout bring them down? What would you prefer?
Why don't you bring them down personally and you can be down here. I think maybe we'll take, while you're working your way down, I will take another comment. I said I would turn to the cafeteria people. So we'll take you next, but in the interest of time, let's keep the discussion going. if that's okay. Let me just ask. Yes, sir, waiting from the cafeteria, I assume? Yeah. Okay, quiet, please. We're going to continue discussion.
Are we on?
I think you're on.
Okay. Chris Thompson, 178 Horse Pond Road. I just want to say that I agree that this is not a vote on whether we're having affordable housing in town or not. It's about picking which location we want to have it in. I think that it's one project or the other. From the presentation, I won't reiterate all the pros and cons of the both. I just want to hear from town council what he said or similar comments that he said at the informational meeting about the prior speakers have said we should vote both of these down. And I think that the odds of both of these not occurring are very slim. And I just want to hear town council what our odds are in the courts. So
I just distracted town council by handing him the motion to amend.
Sorry.
So could you, your essence of your question.
The essence of my question was at the informational meeting, town council spoke to how slim our chances were of voting both of these down. And I would like to hear his comments again.
Yes, town council, I recognize you now.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Through you, Jonathan Silverstein, town council. So in my assessment, the odds of winning at the HAC are extremely, extremely slim. I think there are a couple things that need to be kept in mind. The prior speaker gave a number of 26% of cases being found for developers. I don't think that's a useful number because you have to look at the number of cases decided. It's not useful to look at the number of cases filed. People file cases all the time in litigation, in courts, in administrative agencies. You have to look at the cases that go to decision. We are on the eve of trial. The time to settle a case, when most cases get settled, is on the eve of trial. We're trying to be one of those 45% of cases that the prior speaker referred to as being settled. This is the settlement. There is not likely to be another settlement. I would note that the RFP that the board issued and awarded to Quarry North would no longer be valid if this town meeting votes down the settlement. There would have to be a whole new process. There clearly is not going to be time for that, certainly prior to trial. And when you talk about leverage, after you lose a case is not the time when you have leverage to negotiate a better deal. Generally. But even looking at the numbers that were given by the prior speaker, 26% in favor of developers, 5% or less than one-fifth, so less than 20% of the total cases, not cases decided. The percentage of cases decided for towns is actually much lower. But even using those numbers of total cases, under 20% in favor of towns. If you look at the cases that are actually based upon local concerns, which is what our case is based upon, in other words, trying to convince the Housing Appeals Committee, whose charge it is to promote affordable housing developments, that local concerns, such as concern for the historic downtown or traffic or other types of local concerns outweigh the need for affordable housing that is articulated in the statute is not something that has been successfully done, as the town manager indicated, since 2009. And that case was very, very different. I would note that if anyone cares to hear it, and with the moderator's allowance, if anyone wants to hear from the town's affordable housing and planning consultant, Judy Barrett, who has a great deal of experience in this issue, she's here at the town forum. She confirmed my assessment in this regard. So I think that that is my answer to that question.
Thank you. Do I still have the floor?
Do you have a follow-up question for town council?
I would just like to say, so we feel like we've had our most maximum leverage has been applied, and that there is not a better deal out there to be had, and that this is a choice between one property or the other, in your opinion?
That is my opinion.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We will now take a look at your motion to amend. Thank you for your patience. So I have received in writing, properly moved, a motion to amend Article 6. We need to, though, get it so that everyone can see it. So it just requires a little bit of editing of the language of the motion that the town already has on a slide for Article 6. So bear with us while we do that. Mr. Tyler, do you have a point of order? Well, can you use a microphone, please? I can't hear you. Hold it like this towards your mouth more. No, it should be on.
Okay.
There you go.
I just wanted, if I can submit to you a motion, so if I get recognized, I can make it to amend one of the other articles sometime later in this period.
Is it for Article 6?
No. So
okay. Then why don't you wait on it? Okay.
I am, but the paper, so we can get expedited.
You've already submitted it in the slide form?
No, I have not. Because
you haven't? Oh, it's a different motion?
I just realized today that this
okay. Don't talk about it right now.
Yeah, all right.
It's okay. So we'll hold off on that just so okay. We don't confuse things. Thank you. So I think we could hear from the presenter from the proponent of this. Well, it's hard to do if people can't read it. He has to write up the whole thing. Okay. So I think while the technology administrator is typing up this motion to amend, I will ask the proponent to read it to the hall. It's basically, well, is the verbiage the same as what's in the warrant? If you want to take a look at your warrants, if you look at Article 6, you'll see the first part of this is because we moved Article 6 in the words of, the motion under Article 6 was in the words of the article. So you can see what the pending motion is, and then we can have the proponent of this amendment explain his changes while we get it up on the screen. And he's emailing it, actually, as we speak, so maybe it can avoid the transcription. Okay, so you probably want your own hard copy. If you could return that to me when you're done. So what I would like you to do is if everybody has their warrants out, then you can just explain your changes that you're proposing. And I think you should say it in the form of a motion. So I move to amend Article 6 by removing, deleting this language and substituting the other language. Okay? So that's how it should sound.
Very good. Move to amend Article 6 as follows. Strike the language following and further to authorize the Board of Selectmen to strike the language, execute all instruments, including land development, land disposition, or other agreements, deeds, easements, and such other documents or instruments upon such terms and conditions as the Selectmen deem appropriate, substitute that language with the words, grant a conservation restriction in perpetuity on said property for conservation purposes.
Okay. That will require a second. I see a second. Okay. So I'm not going to have any more discussion until we have this visible, and then I will recognize probably town council. No, town manager? Town council. Yep, I will then recognize town council to discuss the ramifications of such an amendment before we then, thank you, would vote on it. Well, talk about it and then vote on it. So hang on 1 second while we get this so that we all know what we're talking about.
Oh, right, yeah. We'll do that first. Sorry.
Yes. He corrects me. The proponent of the amendment will have a chance to speak first. I suppose you could do that right now, unless you think people need to see the exact language while you're talking. Okay.
I'm not sure that's necessary, Madam Moderator.
Yes. Oh, sure, of course, yes.
Thank you, yes. Steve Lansendorf, 43 Hawes Road. Madam Moderator, I do not believe that it's a foregone conclusion that the town will acquire this land as envisioned in under Article 6. I do believe that the article, as written, grants the Board of Selectmen rather extraordinary leeway in what happens to this property next. The purpose of the amendment is to ensure that should the town acquire the Sudbury Center property, it's placed under conservation restriction so that we are not back here in 5 years, 10 years, or what have you, having this same discussion about another proposed development on that same property.
Okay. So I think it's a fine for town council to address the ramifications for the project of the proposed amendment, even though we can't see the amendment language quite yet. So I will now recognize town council Jonathan Silverstein.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. So I think part of this amendment is based upon a misunderstanding of the language that's proposed to be stricken. I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the understanding of the proponent of this motion to amend is that the language to authorize the Board of Selectmen to execute all instruments, including land development, land disposition, or other agreements, deeds, easements, and such other documents or instruments, relates to proposed future development of the Sudbury Station land. And that is not the case. The purpose of that language is to allow the Board of Selectmen to execute the agreement with Sudbury Station by which the town would acquire that land. And so if you strike that language, town meeting would be saying, we authorize the Board of Selectmen to accept the land, but we're not going to let you close. And that would be self-defeating. Any future use of that land, if the town acquires it, would require further town meeting votes. This language does not give the Board of Selectmen the authority to turn around and convey the Sudbury Station land to another developer or to develop the Sudbury Station land or to do anything other than acquire it. But the language allowing the Board of Selectmen to enter into a land development and disposition agreement relates to selling the Malone property and getting this property in return. So I hope that clarifies what the intent of that language is, and that by striking that language, effectively preventing the Board of Selectmen from executing a deed to receive the town center land would prevent the town from acquiring the property.
Thank you. I guess I can open it up to other discussion of this. We're now only talking about amending the language of Article 6 as proposed. And then we will... Oh, okay. Someone in the aisle from the cafeteria who would like to speak to this, please come down. Yeah, if you come in from the cafeteria, please come all the way forward as soon as you come in just so that I can see you. It's really dim in the back there. Thank you.
Elizabeth McCarthy, 215 Hudson Road. I'd like to actually adjust what he just proposed and say that the conservation go on the agricultural part of...
Okay, so hang on. If you're proposing an amendment, which changing language of the motion is, then it needs to be in writing in triplicate. But I also, I don't accept motions to amend, motions to amend. We could take it up next after we vote on this motion to amend, if it's something you feel is that you would like to proceed with. But changing the language of a motion, it has to happen in this very technical way. It can't just be verbally. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So if you'd like to comment, so right now, what I heard, did I mishear you? I thought you said you'd like to change the language of the amendment that's being proposed.
Right, but I didn't know that he was going to propose this, so I had a different thought on what his proposed idea was.
Yeah, so if you do want to make a motion to amend, which you're within your rights to do, you need to write it down and make it three times.
Okay.
And then just and bring it up to me.
Okay.
Okay, and we'll handle it after as a separate motion to amend after we dispose of this motion to amend. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Although I've heard from you, although not on this topic, but I have heard from you tonight. So while you're, Mr. Began, yes. Wait for, I'm sorry, wait for a mic, yeah. Here, come, okay.
Are we on?
Yeah. Yep.
Robert Began, 25 Pine Street. I don't know the exact verbiage, but I want to call for a vote because we're going to be here well past. So I don't know if that's possible, but I think we should vote on this.
There's a second to the call of the question.
Madam Moderator?
Hang on. Hang on. Is there a point of order?
Madam Moderator?
I can't see it. Oh, sorry. Yes, thank you.
Hank Surratt, Longfellow Road.
Is this a point of order? I'm
is
calling.
It is a point of order. Can town council tell us how we could amend the article, accomplish the objective of creating a conservation restriction, and not mess up the closing?
That's not really a point of order, actually. That is a separate question. I have not yet called the question. I heard...
Madam Moderator?
A request for it. Please stop interrupting me. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. My friend David Pendleton, and I'm being rude. I apologize. There is someone in the black box who wishes to speak. Okay, that's good to know. I am trying to catch up with what I'm doing. Hang on 1 second. All right, hang on. I think it's premature to call the question right now, so I will allow Mr. Surratt in the balcony to make his point, and then I will take someone from the person from the black box. And I'll have those two comments on the motion to amend. Yes, Ms. Hollinger. Wait for a microphone, please. And points of order are very specific, by the way. If you have a question, that's a different thing.
I don't believe that the amendment or the motion amendment or was seconded. So
yes, it was.
I got a second.
Thank you. That is a point of order, and I did second it. So, thank you. So, Mr. Surratt, if you would like to speak.
I have a loud voice, but I hope the microphone helps. I understand the objective of the proponent of the amendment to want to make sure we don't wind up with another large development proposal down the road and to make sure this land stays open for all time, something I wish had happened with the Malone land. But is there a way through, Madam Moderator, the town council could advise the hall how we could amend the article to create a conservation restriction for all time and not mess up the closing?
I will ask him. Thank you. Town Council.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. The answer is yes. There is a way to do that. I will caution that, of course, if town meeting votes to acquire the Sudbury Station land only for conservation purposes, then if the town later wants to use part of that land for cemetery purposes or for recreation purposes or other purposes, you will not be able to do so without a two-thirds vote of both houses of the legislature, the state legislature, as well as various other procedural requirements. Having said that, if the intent is simply to take the town center land and limit it for all time to conservation only, then the way to accomplish that would be to simply add the words "for conservation purposes" after the word "acquire" in the first line of the article.
Okay, thank you for that information. I will now go to the person who's been waiting patiently in the black box.
William Stevenson, Greystone Lane.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
William Stevenson, 135 Greystone Lane.
Thank you.
For me, this issue highlights the tug of war that we're experiencing as a town. It seems like it's a choice between Malone or the center of town being conserved. But for me, it feels like we're in flatland, and there's another dimension to this that's being missed. My wife and I received a letter from the developer talking about the pressures of development in Metro West. Framingham just voted to become a city, and Wayland had the proposal to stop the monster.
Sorry, well, sir, we're talking only about the amendment right now.
I understand that, Madam Speaker.
Can you link this directly to the amendment and please, whether or not?
Please give me the space to do so.
Okay, if you could do that, thanks.
Wayland just voted down the monster, and I feel that the issue for me under this is not whether we conserve the town center or we vote for Malone. The issue to me is the planning that we do as a town, the kind of future that we want. It's not really about Malone or about the town center being conserved. It's about the discussion of the kind of...
What is your point, sir, about the amendment?
The amendment, the point of the amendment is that the real issue here is not whether we conserve the town center or not, but the planning that we do as a town for the land that we have and how we go into that future with measure and consciousness. And this amendment to me represents more of the same. It's not about Malone, and it's not about the town center. It's about creating a conscious future for our town. So I urge you to vote against this measure and not see it in opposition to Malone, but to choose to think through as a community the kind of future that we want collectively as a group. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hang on one second. There might be something I need to discuss with town clerk. All right, so we had a question from the cafeteria, and I'll explain it now, and then we're going to vote. So there was a motion. Could I have everyone's attention, please? Thank you. There was a motion to call the question made by Mr. Began a few minutes ago, and that is something that's completely in the moderator's discretion under the handy-dandy town meeting time book of guidelines and rules that we have adopted to follow. And so I used my discretion as moderator to... have a little bit of debate about this amendment, which every proponent, I feel, is entitled to have their properly moved and seconded motion debated. So, to some degree, I feel we've had that debate, and now we're going to move on to a vote. But it is fully in the moderator's discretion whether or not to call the question. So we are now going to move on to a vote on the motion to amend Article 6, which you will see on the screen now, I think. Let me just make sure that it's correct before before we vote on it. Okay, so this is the original language. Wait a minute. Please allow us to sort this out. Okay, it's correct. So this needs to pass by a majority, even though it's a two-thirds vote for the main motion. Is that correct, Town Council? Okay. Hang on. Okay, so I need to call the election workers in before I do any voting, as the clerk just pointed out, and I apologize to the election workers for having forgotten to do that on some other voting that we've done. So many apologies, and also a huge shout out to the election workers because they have done an amazing job tonight under really stressful circumstances. So thank you to all of them, and my oversight was inexcusable, and I apologize for that. So they have every right to vote, so I'm going to allow them to come in. Sir, what is your point of order?
My understanding is because the person called the question, don't you take a vote now to call the question?
No, that's not how it works. And just to clarify, I never even entertained the motion to call the question, so we're not calling the question right now. It's very confusing. We are now going to just vote on the motion to amend Article 6. Okay? Yes, sir. What is your point of order? No. Hang on. Council did not do any putting forth of amendments. Nope. He's not allowed to. He's not a voter of Sudbury, so that's one thing. No. He just opined as to whether one could do something else. So if the election workers are all in, and I'm trying to see if there's any issue from the cafeteria.
Madam Moderator?
Yes. Other moderator?
Could we look at the amendment language again, please? Some of us had trouble reading it.
The amendment language should be on a screen in your room.
Okay, it is now. Thank you.
The amendment language is not on this? Oh, it is. Oh, okay.
It's not, Madam Moderator. It's just the result of the amendment, I think.
Oh, it doesn't show it as a strikeout. It's a little hard to follow. The text, though, on the screen is exactly what the amended motion would be.
The amended motion would be, right?
Yes, so just to clarify, if you're looking at your warrant, we're removing in the next to last sentence or something? Removing everything, it would remove in the original motion everything from execute through appropriate. Can everyone please be quiet? Thank you. What's that? Yeah, that's correct. Okay. All right, and a very good question was raised in the cafeteria, just a logistical one. If this motion to amend Article 6 were to pass, that becomes what is wrapped in to the consolidated vote that we will take when we're done with debate. Okay? But so we are, okay. I think we're ready to vote. Are all the election
Madam
workers
moderator?
In? Yes, Mr.
From the lecture hall. One small point. When the motion is actually made in the words of the article, I believe that it's understood that the phrase "or take any other action there to" at the end is not included in that motion, because that's there only to make sure that any amendment that's made is effectively within the words of the article. So when the amended motion is presented with the words "or take any other action pertaining thereto," I'm not sure that last phrase belongs in the amended motion.
Well, it's his amendment. I'm not being facetious. This is the language the proponent would like, and so that is what we're going to vote on, because I have ruled that it is within the scope of the article. So we are ready to vote. If all the election workers are in, and
just voting on the amendment.
So this needs to pass by a majority. All in favor of the motion to amend.
Madam Moderator.
Yes, Mr. Coe.
We have a question here from the lecture hall.
Well, debate is done. Is it a point of order?
The point of clarification from the town council is what's asked for.
If it's quick, a quick clarification from town council. But this feels like opening up debate again. So I think we're going to vote, actually. So,
Madam Moderator.
I'm done taking questions. We are going to vote on this motion to amend Article 6. All in favor of the motion to amend Article 6, please raise your cards. All opposed. That fails in the auditorium.
It fails in the black box room.
It fails in the lecture hall.
And we will wait and make sure of what the result is in the cafeteria. It fails in the cafeteria. So Article 6 stands unamended. Thank you. Okay. We can continue talking about our consolidated group of motions. Hang on. Let me find my spot here. So I would like everyone to be quiet, please, so we can just keep right on chugging. I see someone on this side who would like to be recognized for general debate on the motion. So please find a microphone and state your name and address.
My name is Matt Lazowski. I live at 6 Hollow Oak Drive. I have 2 points. I'm in the transportation and parking industry and have been for 20 years. I spoke a few years ago when we were talking about putting ball fields on Route 117. You mentioned a traffic study. I haven't looked at it. I've been doing this for a very long time and work with consultants on a regular basis in this area. I've been living here for about 8 years. I have seen many studies, whether it's airports, cities, smart city transportation is what I've been focusing on for the past 4 or 5 years specifically. I drive 117 quite a bit to go to Concord. I appreciate a few of the comments about quality of life that a few of the people said, the woman with the yellow shirt. My understanding, talking to some very astute people in town, is that we have to meet these 40B requirements. I also understand, and it's not part of my comment really, but as an aside, that we kind of were put in this position because we didn't do proper work as a town to meet those requirements. So it's a shame that we have to feel that, where some people are pressured. My point with this is the traffic on 117 is going to be atrocious. I can assure you, I can assure all of you, the traffic on 117 will be very, very bad if you have more. I think I heard the traffic study say that the impact will not change. I professionally disagree, and I'm sure that we can get another study to say that. So with that, I understand that we have to do something, but because of that and because of the quality of life, I'd say we vote no on this because the proper studies haven't been done just in that one area. Also, that I heard some money being thrown out, for instance, are going to give $100,000. This is one example I want people to think about, that they said they're going to give us $100,000 to do well testing. What I didn't hear is, what's the estimated cost of that well testing? So, for instance, if the estimated cost is $1 million, that's only 10%. So it's not much mitigation on our expense. I don't know what the other expenses are. I haven't seen those costs as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. Okay. In the center of the room in the red jacket, and then I'll look at the balcony again after this comment.
Jennifer Pincus, 25 Blueberry Hill Lane. I was not able to attend the previous presentation, but I understand that there is some kind of a restriction on the Sudbury Station property that the state was supposed to approve or something, and that they did not. And it runs out in about 5 years. And so my question is, if the Sudbury Station project, for whatever reason, say we win the litigation and we vote down Quarry North and we win the litigation against Sudbury Station, 5 years from now, what will happen to that property if the town does not acquire it? If somebody could speak to that restriction and explain what it was and explain more about how it works, that would be great. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't want to put her on the spot, but if the conservation department head could speak. Debbie Dineen from Conservation, I think, has an answer for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Debbie Dineen, Conservation Coordinator. Yeah, the agricultural field that's part of Sudbury Station, which is the field behind the Codman Drive houses, that has an agricultural preservation restriction on it. That restriction, in order to be a perpetuity restriction, is required to be signed off by the State Department of Agriculture. Back when the Sudbury Station land was owned by former owners, the Howe and the Bowery families, and the restriction was placed on it, for whatever reason, the state really never gave us a good explanation. They would not sign off on the perpetuity conservation restriction. That made it simply a 30-year conservation restriction. That restriction expires in about 5 years. So that will leave the area from the wetlands that almost bisect the Sudbury Station property to the north going out to Codman Drive as further developable land. There's a 20-foot easement off of Codman Drive that most likely would not be suitable for main access, but the agricultural field could be accessed across the wetlands. If it's a 40B, our local bylaw wouldn't apply. So there is a very good potential that there would be another 20-plus acres or more, I forgot the exact acreage, that could be further developed as a phase two of Sudbury Station or as another development in another 5 years.
Okay, thank you. All right, in the balcony, does anyone wish to speak? I'm not ready to do that quite yet. I think we need a few more comments, and then I would entertain that motion again. Yes, in this... Oh, wait. Okay, sorry. I'm violating my own rules. So no one in the balcony wishes to be heard right now. Is that correct? It's very hard to see you. Okay. Then I will... I see someone waiting in the lecture hall, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead and state your name and address, please.
Hi, I'm Dennis Boucher, 12 Trillium Way, and I hope I'm not the only one, but I'm really confused as to what we're voting on. I just don't understand. So if we vote yes on all of these articles except five, what's the extent of that vote? I heard a lot of talk about Quarry North and Sudbury Station. If we vote yes on all of those collectively, does that mean Quarry North gets built? Does that mean Sudbury Station gets built? I still don't understand that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Let's clarify what the outcome for the town is of a vote, a favorable vote for our for these motions. Town manager.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. I sound loud myself. Thank you, Madam Moderator. An affirmative vote, an affirmative collective vote on these items would allow the zoning in the North Road Residential Overlay District that would allow the market rate housing to be built in this development. It would allow Article 2, the zoning, to be indefinitely postponed. It would approve the master plan for Quarry North. It would allow the town to dispose of the Malone property to Quarry North, and it would accept the town center land.
Okay, and I think there was an interest also in more of a summary of the... it means that the Malone project...
It means that the Malone project would go forward, and that Sudbury Station litigation would end, and the Sudbury Station project would not go forward. And we would get the Sudbury Station land under Article 6.
Okay. Does that answer your question in the lecture hall?
I think so. In my own simple terms, I think what you said was that Quarry North gets built, or at least part of it. Sudbury Station does not get built.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. And someone is waiting from the cafeteria. Okay.
Arthur Houston, 578 Peckham Road. I do believe after listening to town council and other people on the subject that we are faced with a choice between two different developments. I've been here 25 years, and whether it's 40B or something else, affordable housing, I think, has come up every year. It just keeps coming up and coming up. And although it's true that we didn't meet the 10%, and that's too bad, I think people have worked on it. I think we need to recognize that the town has made a good faith effort in that. I'm not going to be lengthy, but I want to share my observations about Town Center. I moved to Sudbury, as I said, about 25 years ago. I've got one kid in high school. I've got one kid that's through, and he's at RPI. My first experience here was as a single person when I drove through at night on the way to a party in Wayland. And, coming through Town Center, I was like, holy cow, I'm in New Hampshire. I grew up in Peterborough, New Hampshire, in the Monadnock region, and I just felt immediately at home. And I think that that's an experience that a lot of us have had in Sudbury, and people driving through town say, by God, what a beautiful town we live in. I mean, we've got two cemeteries there, one of which is historically significant. We've got three churches. We've got a school. We've got the town hall. We've got the town building. We've got the Grange. We've got the Hosmer House. We've got a baseball field. We've got two parks. So, and we're proposing to put, another entrance in addition to possibly a rail trail at some point. And I'm persuaded by the public safety issues. We've got a police station and a fire station that have to go regularly through Town Center. I'm convinced that although Route 117 will be impacted by traffic, that Town Center will be equally impacted, and there'll be safety issues. And I believe that quite fervently. And I want to just point out that in the presentation, there's also financial impact, which is approximately $1.2 million difference. One is a surplus, one's a deficit. That's, at some point, we're going to have a fiscal crunch in town again, as we usually do. A lot of times we lose teachers. $1.2 million is quite a bit of money to be talking about, and I would not want to risk what we would lose on the gamble that we're going to somehow win in court or prevail over 40B.
Thank you. And I would just have a request in the hall and in all the rooms, if you could not talk at all amongst yourselves. It can make it really hard for people to hear nearby. I know it's getting late and we're all a little antsy, but if you could just really not talk, then we can proceed. So I see someone waiting patiently in the black box room. I will recognize that person now.
Hi, Rob Kornblum, 22 Virginia Ridge Road. It's actually somewhat disconcerting to be in the black box room, just to say. But anyway, so I hear and understand the public safety questions with regard to development at Town Center. I don't really hear anybody talk about public safety issues with regard to Quarry North going forth, and all of us who live on or near 117 and who have kids who try to cross that street on their way to Haynes School or anywhere else, those kids have the same sort of public safety concerns that others have, and I don't really ever hear that echoed. But I also wanted to point out that we have a giant, giant development that's going in Maynard. 300,000 square feet. It's under construction. If you haven't seen it, drive by there. It's going to have a huge impact on Route 117. To some degree, certainly on 27 as well, although it's right near the Maynard football fields on 27. And that in and of itself is going to have a huge impact on the traffic on 117. When you add Quarry North to that, it's going to be a parking lot. It's just going to be an absolute standstill. And we already face some of that, those of us who live north of 117 from the Concord Mews development. If you've ever tried turning onto 117 from Powder Mill Road, you'll know it's about 10 times worse than it used to be. It's going to get way worse. If you put in a light, it's still going to be bad. If you think 117 is an issue now, just put this thing in and wait till the Maynard project goes through. Add this to it. It's going to be an absolute disaster. So I'm strongly opposed to the Quarry North development just because I think it's going to change the nature of North Sudbury in a giant way, and I don't think any of us really kind of signed up for that. So thanks.
Okay, thanks. In the purple shirt, Oh, if you want to just come down to this mic, that's probably the fastest thing. Oh, yes, hi. Sorry, I didn't recognize you back there.
I'm Carla Lievano. I live at 655 Boston Post Road. I just shortly want to say that one man did allude to it, that Sudbury is in this position right now. The reason is that 40B developers are building here is because Sudbury has lacked the political will to build affordable housing on the town's own terms. And this is very unfortunate and sad, I feel. So my question, I have one quick question, and it's for the Board of Selectmen. So Quarry North, if it is built, and I'm not against it, it's probably a better location in my opinion, but it will only have 26 actual, not the count of 101, but actual affordable units. If Sudbury Station is built, unless I'm wrong, it would have 63 actual units of affordable housing, from what I understand. So there is a difference of 37 units that we lose of actual affordable housing that people in need that are, you know, mm-hmm. could live in. And so if we are to vote for Quarry North, which I'm fine to do, I want to ask the Board of Selectmen, what are your plans to make up for those 37 units, and further, what are your plans to produce affordable housing so we aren't vulnerable in the future to 40B developers? And just before you answer, and I'll finish and sit down, some of you may have recognized my address. It's 655 Boston Post Road. That is Longfellow Glen. About 100 low-income families live there. I am a low-income single mom. And I'm here today to stand up for all low-income people. And I hope that the majority of you who want to help people like my daughter and myself who live there have roofs over our head. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leviano. I'm sorry, no clapping. So who would like to address that question? I'll recognize Chairman Hardy from the Board of Selectmen.
Thank you. So building affordable housing has been a goal and objective of the town. I know it's been one of mine. I've been on the board 9 years, and my very first day on the Board of Selectmen, my very first meeting, I made a motion to proactively build 200 units of affordable housing and set that as a goal 9 years ago. Unfortunately, that goal wasn't set forth, but I gave it a shot then, and I've pursued it ever since, and this board has pursued it. We've now built hundreds of units in high-density affordable housing in Sudbury now with Avalon, with Coolidge, 65 more units with Coolidge. We've got some units over at Landham Crossing, and we're going to have more units with either Quarry North or Sudbury Station. The big change we want to make, though, and we support, is inclusionary zoning and going forward. So the way inclusionary zoning works is for every unit of housing that gets built, enough funds are set aside for that unit that you could build one unit of affordable housing for every 10 units that are built. So in essence, to use round math, and it doesn't really work out this way, but roughly, if you build one unit of house, you put 10% of what it would cost to build an affordable housing unit aside. So you build 10 houses throughout the course of the town. You have enough money now to build one affordable unit. So that way we keep up with the 10%, and a lot of towns have done this, and they generally do it right after they reach 10%, which we just did. I know this is something that the planning board is working on. So once we reach adopt the inclusionary zoning, which I'm hopeful we will be adding more and more units of affordable housing. A minimum of one for every 10 is how it should work.
Okay, thank you. So we have been debating this for a little more than an hour, and I want to get a sense of how much appetite there is for further debate without a formal call of the question vote. So if you have something, and I also have been keeping track of the comments, and I feel that we have heard a number of issues vetted pretty thoroughly, and we have heard from both sides. So what I'd like to know is how many people have either a question that has not been answered that's very important to them, very, very important, or a comment that they feel we would be remiss in not hearing. Okay, I see about half a dozen people in here, and I want to just hang on. So if I will take two more comments, and then we will move to a vote. So I don't need to I'm sorry. Okay, that was out of order. So I will take two comments. Madam, if you would like to be recognized to make your comment, you may. So you need a microphone. You can be comment number one. And, sir, you've been standing in the aisle very patiently. So those are the last two comments that we'll have, and then we will vote, because I heard the rest of the hall pretty eager to wrap this up. Okay, so one and two, and then we'll vote. And then, please, while we're waiting for the microphone, hang on one second. After the vote, please don't leave. We have one more article, okay? We have to deal with Article 5. So I would urge you to stay. So that's it, but thank you. So, yes, ma'am, name and address, please. Just speak directly into it for a minute. It'll come live. Whoops. Try holding it like a... Oh, turn the switch on. Sorry. Sometimes you have to, and sometimes you don't.
Nancy Meyer, 23 Checkerberry Circle.
I'm sorry, it's still not working. We need to have it.
Nancy Meyer, 23 Checkerberry Circle, Sudbury, obviously. One of the things that I'm very concerned about with is the results of the drought of 2016. As a result of those droughts, well number two was put back online to meet the deficit. Well number two was contaminated by Sperry Rand. It is beginning to recover, according to GeoInsight. Unfortunately, if we put 270-some-on septic systems over and above the well, and it goes downhill, after all, people, and it's sandy soil, and there are no geological barriers, I propose that we are going to have a contaminated well again. We almost had to connect to Framingham's water supply in 2016. I have no idea what that would cost. I've tried to find out. I have been unable to. But I would like to ask the water department, how much would that cost if we lose well two?
I will recognize Bob Sheldon for the water commissioners to address that. He doubles as an acrobat.
No pants were ripped and no muscles pulled, at least as far as I know. It was well number five. Well number five is a well that is across south of North Road. Well number five has been shut down for, it's still active, but it's been taken out of primary use because of iron and manganese, not because of the TCE that had been in there previously. There's a treatment for that. The biggest problem is the staining from iron and manganese. We also have done we've done an analysis when this first came out. We have a hydraulic model to determine if we have sufficient water pumping and distribution system and storage to get water to this site. We were kind of skeptical to begin with. And we ran the model, and we do have sufficient flow there even without well number 5 online. That said, we want to preserve well number 5. We share your concerns about having impacts from a wastewater treatment plant, but part of this whole process to site that plant and get approval from Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection is to go through a pretty thorough study. In addition to that, we put some pretty serious requirements at Meadowalk, and we intend to ask for those same requirements there. Well number 2, just for your information, is behind our district offices off of Raymond Road. I hope that answers your question.
Great, thank you. Yes, sir, who's been waiting in the aisle very patiently, I appreciate it.
Harold Cohen, 150 North Road.
A little closer.
I think you might need to step closer to the mic. Terry, is this mic on down here? Okay, go ahead. Yeah, say your name again, please.
With all due respects to counsel, percentages in a court mean nothing in winning. Keep fighting. We now have a president of our country who won against the odds.
Hang on, people.
Vote
Hang
no
on.
To keep our town and not make it a city.
Okay, so thank you. And now we will proceed to a vote. I want to give the election workers a chance to come in. Can I have it quiet, please? That will help this go faster. Thank you. So let's get the election workers in. And then the doors will be locked. So hang on, I need quiet, please. I don't want to have to take out my gavel. But I should, so when I adjourn later, I have it. Thank you. Okay, so election workers are coming in.
She sees me before she votes.
She had already closed the vote.
I will ask. Madam Moderator? Madam Moderator?
Okay.
Madam Moderator?
Quiet, please. Thank you. Here we go.
I don't know if you can hear me. Madam Moderator?
Okay. The black box is speaking. Okay. Yes, Dave.
I believe we have a point of order comment. Would you entertain that?
No. Sorry, I ended debate. We're going to vote. I'm sorry, that's out of order at this point. Thank you.
But she never asked the cafeteria. She never asked the black box. She never asked the lecture hall if anybody had any more questions.
We're ready to vote. Thanks. I have been keeping an eye on the black box and the lecture hall and the cafeteria all evening, and the auditorium and the balcony. Thank you for your patience. So I will now, the back door is open. Can I have that door closed, please? Thank you. Okay, so this needs to pass by 2/3. All in favor of the pending motions 1 through 4 and 6, please signify by raising your cards.
Keep them up, please. Keep them up.
All opposed? That passes by more than 2/3.
It passes by more than 2/3 in the lecture hall.
I'm going to now find out from the other rooms. It passes this room, I should clarify. Black box.
I'm going to need to do a quick count. I'm not sure we've got 2/3 here.
Okay, so we will wait. Please don't start talking, everyone. I need to be able to hear from the lecture hall as well. So, yes, Mr. Moderator, in the black box room, please go ahead with your count. Do you need help from the town clerk's staff.
No, I think we've got two people that can help us here, so just bear with us because I'm going to have to use the microphone to speak to everybody.
Okay.
I first want to know, is anybody going to abstain from this vote? Raise your card high if you plan to not vote, which is your right, but I need to know that for the count. I see nobody. So there are 190 seats in this room. Approximately 10 of them were not filled at the beginning of the meeting, and I'm estimating we lost about 20 people during the course of the meeting. So given that number, a two-thirds threshold, we're gonna do a count. A two-thirds threshold is approximately 53 votes. If it's close, we're going to do a more formal ballot. But I'm going to do a quick count here just so that we can get an assessment. Because if we do have to go to a ballot, it is a lengthy process. We'll do that if necessary. If we're not close on the, if we are close on the two-thirds threshold, we can recommend a ballot, but it will be based on an assessment of all of the rooms. So the moderator will make that call. Meanwhile, we will do the count in here. If you are voting no. If you are voting no, please raise your card high and hold it high so that we can do a count, okay? Okay, you can put your cards down now. Thank you. The estimated quick count that we just did indicates about 69 individuals who voted no out of a room of approximately 170 people. So in this room, we did not meet the two-thirds threshold, but that needs to be assessed across the other rooms as well. So I will report that to the moderator.
So, Dave, it did not reach two-thirds in the black box?
That is correct.
Okay. Please, everyone, bear with us while we work on this. Lecture hall.
It passes in the lecture hall by more than two-thirds.
And the cafeteria has passed by more than two-thirds.
They're calling for a count.
Who is? Someone in the lecture hall?
No.
I'll call for a count.
Seven people have to call for a count in the whole hall, you know, us and everybody else. If seven
All right, you know what, let's just count. I think we're going to just go ahead and count this. This is very important to to a lot of people. So we have a good process for this, but it requires everyone to listen and stay put. So let me find where I explain this. We are going to use paper ballots, which is much faster and, well, I don't know about much faster. It should be more efficient and definitely clearer to everyone than when we do the standing and sitting and yes and no and everything else. So there's a process I've worked out with the town clerk that should make this go just fine. It's going to take some time, but it will result in a very clear outcome for all of us. So please don't talk, and I will tell you what's going to happen. We're going to send staff to the other rooms. Or to send, okay, so scratch that. In the cafeteria, black box, and lecture hall, could you please send a town staff person to the auditorium to receive the ballots and a ballot box? So we need someone to come be a courier back to those rooms with the ballots and ballot boxes. And meanwhile, I'm going to explain to the hall how this is going to work. I would really request that you not leave. It could change the outcome of votes, so please, 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 please stay to the extent you can. We can't lock people in. We have to keep anyone else from entering, but we can't lock people in. So I think we're getting some people to come in here. Thank you. So here's how it's going to work. It's going to be row by row, so we'll start in the front. And you will stand up. Oh, so this is if you're able to stand and come to the front of the auditorium, this is what you will do. If you're unable to stand and come to the front, then I will tell you in a minute what we will do. So, for most of you, when your row is called, you will stand up. You will have your trusty green card with you. You will walk single file to the end of your row, where there will be a staff person with a ballot for you. You will show your card to prove that you are a registered Sudbury voter and that you checked in, and then you will receive a paper ballot. And so, then you will take your paper ballot. The ballots have yes on one side, yes on the top, and no on the bottom. You will tear it off, and you will then take your vote that you wish to cast across to the other end of the row, where there will be the ballot box with another election worker. You will deposit your ballot in the box, double check it's what you really want to put in there, then you'll take the vote you did not cast and you'll put it in a recycling bin. So then you will take your green card with you back to your seat, because we have more voting to do, and you'll stay in order. So it's going to be like if you've ever taken communion in church or been to a wedding, it's going to be very orderly like that. Okay? So hang on. Quiet, please. Please, please, please. If you cannot come to the front of the room, then when your row is called, just somehow signal to the staff person that you're unable to come to the front of the room, and then we will bring a ballot box and a ballot to you. And we will hole punch your card or some other indication that you have cast a vote so that no one else can use your card. We're all a trustworthy group here. So, all right, so this is your ticket to get a ballot. Everyone get it? You rip the ballot apart, put only one half of it in the box. Make sure it's yes or no to your own desires, and then deposit the wasted other part in the trash, okay? So now quiet, please. And in the other rooms, I will leave it up to the moderators to decide the most efficient process. I know the lecture hall is so steeply banked, it may be better for the box to come up the embankment than to have everybody try to come down, but I'll leave that up to Mr. Coe. And then Mr. Pendleton, you can devise an efficient system in the black box. Unless you've left. No, I'm just kidding. So, let's just hang on one second while we get the ballots. If there's a question, I'm happy to answer it. I hear in the balcony. Yes, you will not be. We will send. Good question. Yes. I think we'll need to send the ballots and boxes up to you, and we will. Is there space in the front of the front row to walk across? No, there isn't, is there? Hang on. We'll figure out a good way to do it. Good question. Thank you. Hang on. Someone has an idea in the balcony? Sorry, I can't hear you. Hang on. All right, so the first thing we're going to do, we'll figure out the balcony when we finish the orchestra section, okay? So balcony people, thank you for your patience. We will get to you. But first people are going to be the election workers. So if you are an election worker, please come forward. Which way are we going to flow? I guess it doesn't matter for the election workers. Okay, so election workers, come to the front of the room here and wait in the vicinity of this mic. Right there, Betsy, is great. Thank you. Oh, Rosemary. Oh. Are you guys all set? Okay. Okay, election worker, hang on a sec. Stop. They're going to come down to you, I think, with the... So just to clarify, I said recycle bin, but the unused portion of your paper ballot will go in this tan tote bag. We're improvising a lot of things tonight, so. Okay. Okay, so balcony, just so you know, I just realized what we can do. We can do the same method, but you're going to come across your row that we'll put, I was going to have them go outside to return to their seats. Does that work? The balcony, just the balcony. All right, never mind. Hang on. Sorry. We'll figure it out. Okay, I need everyone to stay quiet, please. Thank you. Okay, so next I will invite the people on the stage to vote, just so I don't forget that. Are we there? Oh, they just did. Oh, my God, I'm sorry. All right, now row number one. Oh, wait. Yeah, so we will... All right, so balcony people, what you'll do is we're going to now count balcony at the same time as the orchestra section. We're going to send up someone with a bunch of ballots for this side, and then there'll be a box on that side. You're going to have to go out into the hallway to do the round trip. Does that make sense? So we're going to go row by row. You'll stand up, walk in this direction to get a ballot, go out in the hallway, and then cast your vote back inside at the ballot box that will be on the other side, okay? Someone is waving their hand at me. How did you get to your seat? Only one way. Oh, I see.
Just
the first row has that problem. We'll do you at the very end, and we'll figure that out. I'll let the workers up there. Yeah, or you could... At the end, we'll have you do it. You can go out that way, get a ballot, go back around. Okay, thank you for pointing that out. Okay, so. Okay.
Right.
And the part I realized I didn't tell anyone, which is that the ballots will be counted by the town accountant and the head of finance, and they will give the tally to me. So, so I really would like the doors to stay shut to the extent possible and that people don't go in and out of this room, please. Unless it's absolutely necessary. So, I think, who are the, I know. So, hey, Rosemary. They're still ordering.
No. You got people up there. They're coming out one, kind of swinging around.
So, Rosemary, are we ready? Are we ready for the first row? Hang on. Everyone, can you use the mic? Thanks. Okay, quiet, please.
We're going to have you all stand one row at a time when you're directed to do so. You have your card ready. When you show the card to... You're going to do the ballot. To Kirsten, she will give you a ballot. It's a yes-no ballot. You're going to rip it in half. Layla Frank has the box. You're going to put it in. That's your vote. Patty will have the recycle. You put the one you don't wish to vote in that. Then you're going to go all the way down in the front behind this row of staff here. Debbie Dineen will direct you back into the row you came from. If you needed to go to the restroom or something like that, once you leave this room, you may not enter again until we're finished voting. Okay. If you cannot make the journey and you require someone to assist you and bring you a ballot, just hold your card up. When the rest of the row stands, you hold your card up. You let them pass, but keep it up. So with the empty row, we can see if anyone really needs assistance. We can help you. Okay? Any questions?
Okay. So, again, if I could have it quiet, and I want everyone to be very clear on the fact that you need to return to your seat when you're done, okay? And if you leave the room, you may not come back in until the vote is over. Could I have quiet, please? Everyone, including the balcony, please, quiet. Thank you so much. This will go faster if we can just kind of bomb through it and be efficient, but I need everyone to just be quiet. Thank you. So, we're ready for the first row.
Why don't you come up here? Gentlemen over there, cast this. You keep it.
Okay, second row. But go in order. Stay in order, please. Stay in order and file through in order. Thank you. Yep, we're doing it just like a big circle.
In the black box room. Can I have your attention? In the black box room. Did anybody not submit their ballot to me yet? I'm going to submit the ballot box now. Last chance. Looks like we've got everybody. Thank you very much, folks. Folks, I know it's very late. We're all a little tired, but there is one more vote coming up. So hopefully the ballot counting will go quickly. Please stick around if you can for the last vote. And thanks again for doing this. We greatly appreciate it. I think the only way they do a re-vote is if it were like laser things. Know what you mean? Oh, I see what you mean. A good point. Yeah, they, I don't know officially, but I think that makes sense.
Okay, hang on. Could I have everyone's attention? Could I have quiet, please? Thanks. Just a housekeeping, literally a housekeeping thing. If you could keep your belongings tucked under your chair when you get up, just so that it's easier for people to file past your spot, then that would help move things along. Thanks. And I also want to remind everyone, we have one more article. To get through. If you need to go out of the hall but would like to come back, you will be allowed in when this vote is concluded. You can come back in and participate for Article 5, but you will not be allowed back in during this vote.
Yes. Yes, of course. Absolutely. If anybody needs a very quick trip to the restroom, you can do it. I know that Beth was saying not to leave, but our voting in here is done on the first cluster of items. So feel free to visit the restroom. Just come back quickly.
I do. That's for later. Thank you.
Hello.
Could I have everyone's attention again, please? I have a procedural announcement. If I could get everyone's attention, that would be awesome. Oh, thank you. So I know that it's 10:50, and we have the bylaw that requires a vote if we are to move on to new business that begins after 10:30. So that's why I haven't yet asked for that permission, because the business at hand was underway well before 10:30. So the practice is to conclude whatever is pending at 10:30, and then at whatever time that is done, then I will seek permission of the hall to finish the business of this meeting tonight, despite the fact that it will be past 10:30. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's why I have not yet asked for that. But I will, my next order of business when we're done with the tallying of the ballots will be to get that permission. And we will then have just one article left. It'll be Article 5. And so to the extent that everyone can stay, that would be fantastic. And we can probably get through that one fairly quickly. So if you're like me and you like to be thorough, stay put. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, can I have your attention again? Okay. I just want to, before we finish collecting every last ballot, I want to make sure there is no one that we missed who was unable to come forward. Shout and raise your hand if you need assistance. Okay. We do have someone in the back, so the ballot box will work its way to you. Chief. Okay, so I think we have now collected every ballot in every in this room, I know, and in the black box. I realize I haven't heard from the cafeteria, so. So we've collected all the ballots, and they're being tabulated.
Now, folks, once again, our ballot box has already been finished and dispatched. So if anybody needs to leave quickly to go to the restroom, you can do that. Just make sure you have your green card. You will need your green card to get back in.
Thank you.
I have an announcement. A car key was left behind, so if you're in the hallway, it was found on a seat, I guess. Okay, let me describe it. It has a Bernardi key fob. It's for a Honda vehicle. Looks like about a 2013 Honda Pilot, maybe? I don't know. All I know, Honda, it's electronic. It's fairly unscratched, actually. It looks relatively... I'm going more like 2016. And it's Bernardi Auto Group. If this key belongs to anyone, I will have it on my podium. What was that? Right, they're not going anywhere. Yeah. I could quiz you more on town meeting statistics. The tally is going to take a few minutes.
Let you back in.
Thank you.
that a yes box in front of Dennis?
Okay, I understand the voting is almost over. The tallying, I mean. So I just, ooh, that got everyone's attention very quickly. I want to give them a chance to double-check the math, and then I will get the numbers, and I will double-check the proportion, and then I will announce the result. And then I will, I'm saying this out loud so I don't forget things, and then I will ask for permission to continue since we are now past 10:30, and then with any luck, we will continue and finish our business, which is Article 5. So if you want to gather your thoughts on Article 5 while you sit there, you may do so. Someone, I hear a voice. Mr. Cutler. I don't see why not. I think I could do that. Thank you, Mr. Cutler. That is a very good idea, I think. Is that okay? Yeah. Let's do... Oh.
Could you repeat Mr. Cutler's suggestion?
Just get the permission set and do extra business, not start. Yeah, okay. So I need someone to move to continue this meeting since we have gone past the 10:30 mark. Is there a second? Okay. All in favor? Thank you. Any opposed? Do you mean to have your card up? Thank you. Okay, that passes by well more than a majority. And let me see if the moderators of the other rooms can tell me what their rooms think
well
about
more than
staying. Although,
well more than a majority in the black box room.
Okay, thank
well
you.
Well more than a majority in the lecture hall.
Okay. And air traffic control is receiving the signal from the cafeteria here, so... Okay, so we have permission from all four locations to continue past 10:30, so thank you. So we will have Article 5 in a moment. I guess we could... a piece of paper? Okay. The consolidated motion passes. If you would like to know the proportion, 71.89% in favor, 28% against. So that is more than two-thirds. So there we go. And there were 1,697 ballots cast. That is a town meeting record, I think. So thank you. All right, now on to Article 5. But before we do that, because I know what's going to happen when we finish Article 5, and I want to say this while I still have everyone's attention. I am so grateful to the town staff, Melissa's staff, I'm sorry, Madam Town Manager's staff, the town clerk's staff. Every individual who's been involved in this process has been the consummate professional to work with and has made this possible because we've never dealt with this, and everyone handled it with aplomb, and I appreciate it so much. So a huge round of applause to the town staff. And then I want to thank everyone who came tonight. This far exceeded, of course, attendance expectations, but debate far exceeded my expectations in terms of how we treated each other. And I have to say, I am really proud to be a resident of this town. And say what you will about the perhaps somewhat outmoded form of government we have, but in this instance, I really feel that it shows us at our best, so thank you. All right, now on to Article 5, I'll stop talking. So, we need a motion, and that motion will be made by Selectman Simon, thank you.
Article 5, move in the words of the article.
Is there a second? Thank you. And I will recognize the town manager for a presentation. And I still have someone's car keys. Just want to say that, okay? I'll auction them off at the end of the evening. So, Madam Town Manager, when you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Melissa Rodriguez, Town Manager. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Malone Stabilization Account. I promise this will be quick. Just a quick explanation for those of you that don't typically come to town meeting. A stabilization account is a special reserve, which we appropriate money to and reserve for later appropriation. It can be created for a specific purpose or project, to meet a new savings initiative, or just a general purpose one where we just save money for an emergency. It's basically our savings account. Next slide. In 2015, town meeting created a stabilization account and transferred $1.1 million from free cash to fund it. The funding was from the sale of the gravel at Malone. Before that, the funding was actually kept in a revolving account, and the state informed the town they could not continue to keep it there, and this was the solution. The purpose of this account was to restore the property surface for future use or resale. This property is being sold as is, so this funding is no longer required. Basically, we shouldn't keep this funding in this account any longer because the purpose no longer exists. Another just history of this is that this funding and this money came up often during our negotiations with the developer. It was often pointed out as something that we could use for mitigation for this project, and we didn't want that, right? We didn't want to use our own money for mitigation. We wanted the developer to use the money for mitigation. We think it's important that we transfer this money tonight to a new purpose because we don't want this money to come up again when we go through the planning board and site plan review process as a potential mitigation pool. Instead, we want this funding to be used for a town project. Next slide. The town is asking town meeting to repurpose the account to allow it to be used for either Broad Acre or Town Center. And tonight we're asking to appropriate $350,000 to be used in the parcel that we just acquired at Broad Acre at the last town meeting. That parcel is to be used for recreation. The remaining $750,000 could be used for either Town Center or Broad Acre and will require a future two-thirds vote of town meeting to use. Further, the purpose of this stabilization account could always be changed at a later town meeting if we decide we have a different initiative we want to save for, like we're doing tonight. Next slide. So again, $350,000 for the town purchase parcel, which is parcel one, the one the red arrow was pointing at. We funded the purchase of that parcel through community preservation funds. It immediately abuts Featherland, and it's restricted for use for open space and recreation. Currently, next slide. We do not have a finalized plan for the site. We're working with Park and Recreation and other stakeholders on that plan. This is a sample schematic that has been discussed internally. This initial funding will allow the town, through Park and Recreation, to engineer a design and begin site work. As you can see, there's many trees on that site that would need to be removed. The site would need to be leveled. We need to do drainage and engineering and different site work in order to be able to eventually use it as the recreation parcel that we voted for at town meeting. We have retained a consultant to start doing some preliminary schematics, but we won't be able to do actual construction documents until we have additional funding. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does the Finance Committee wish to be heard on Article 5? Or I guess I do Selectmen first, usually. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. The Board of Selectmen unanimously supports this article.
Okay. And Finance?
So the Finance Committee does not support this article. We voted 0-9 against it. If you think about it, the town has lots of capital needs that come up. You hear about these at the spring town meeting. A lot of these are presented to us as urgent capital needs. We urgently need a fire truck. We urgently need these five things. Yet this $1 million now comes available, and rather than put it aside for more urgent capital needs that are going to show up at spring town meeting, we decide to allocate $350,000 for Park and Rec and then the other projects at the town center. So if you vote for this and you go down the path of agreeing with the Board of Selectmen on this, I would ask you then, if anything comes up at the spring town meeting where you're asked to raise taxes for urgent capital needs that are presented as urgent, you should go back and ask them, well, wait a minute, why didn't you tell me about that at the December town meeting when we put $1 million aside for this other project that came out from the Malone Fund? So I think that's generally what the spirit of the committee is on this one.
Okay. And I see Mr. Travers for the CIAC wishing. No. As an individual? Oh, hang on one second. I thought it was. You can do that when I get past the boards. Thank you. Does anyone from Park and Rec? Yes, Mr. Began. Are there any mics left? I think there is a very, very tired Boy Scout. Look at that. All right.
Robert Began, 25 Pine Street, Park and Recreation Commission Chair. So I do understand where the Finance Commission committee is coming from. The Park and Rec Commission, though, actually voted in favor of this, obviously, 5-0. And the reason why we're doing that is because we actually do have some serious needs on the field sides. I think you've heard me before. You've heard many others before. We've had over 11,000 users of these fields in the last 2 years. Okay? We get, I think it's somewhere around 5,500 in that ballpark per year. We have Haskell Field, which is in desperate need of renovation on the upper portion of that. We took the lower portion offline a few years ago, and that's in much better shape. We have no other places to put these kids. LS is fully booked. We've redone Cutting Field, which is great, but we don't have other options. We're very, very fortunate, and we appreciate that the town voted in favor of Broad Acre because that does give us some options. We do have Davis Field as well, and there's work that needs to be done there because that's sloped at an angle and gets very wet during the spring. So I totally understand that there are a lot of capital needs. Our needs are on that capital list as well. So I would just ask you to just consider this and potentially vote in favor for it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other boards or committees that need to weigh in or want to weigh in? Okay, then Mr. Travers, if you would like to speak as a citizen.
Yes, I can talk for the CIAC because we haven't even reviewed this $350,000 expenditure, but we do have a bylaw that says that the CIAC is supposed to approve or opine to the Finance Committee and the Board of Selectmen on any capital project over $100,000. It appears that we are circumventing that. And if I read the article properly, it's in the hands of the town manager rather than coming back to town meeting to have it approved. So it hasn't gone through any review. No one's seen anything on this from the CIAC point of view. And I think we should vote this down. I have no problem in repurposing the stabilization fund, but the $350,000 expenditure out of this fund without proper review is really a problem, in my opinion. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. Yes, Mr. Williamson. Oh, yeah, if you can make your way to the front, that might be easier. Thanks. This one should still be on. And while he's doing that, I will give these car keys to the police. So if you hear of anyone who lost car keys at town meeting, spread the word. They will be at the police station. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Hey. Williamson.
Dick Williamson, 273 Lincoln Road. I have been involved in meetings concerning the Malone property for over a decade. I've walked that. I've talked to all kinds of potential users and developers. There are all kinds of charrettes occurred over time. And one of the continuing comments about the development is it should be a mixed-use development. That means a mix of recreational space and living space. And that has been a constant theme. Now, the Quarry North proposal does not include any space for recreational fields. It's all housing, except for maybe a few small spots. So, as Bobby Began, our chairman, has pointed out, we have this continuing need because we have totally overused fields, and one of our outlets we thought was going to be development at Malone. That's not going to occur, but it is surely appropriate that the mitigation money, the stabilization fund for Malone, be used for recreation to offset the diminution of our desires to have something for Park and Rec up at Malone.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Mr. LaFerrera.
Joe La Ferreira, 47 Windmill Drive. I also have a very strong interest in REC and the construction of fields and how Davis Field is or isn't used in the future. And I think the use of Broad Acres is certainly an appropriate thing to spend town money on. I am concerned in part about the general recharacterization of the stabilization fund, however, because I think a substantial amount of it should be retained for uses in and around Quarry North and 117 and Malone. We don't know exactly what that is going to look like going forward. Certainly, there's going to be some work done and paid for by the developer, but quite frankly, I don't think it's unreasonable to believe that there may be other needs and other requirements going forward. And so it seems to me that the right thing to do is vote this article down and come May, vote for some funds to be appropriated to Broad Acre, but leave the rest of the funds for a period of time to be used in and around Maloney and Quarry North. So I would suggest that a no vote on this is appropriate with a later allocation of funds after CIAC has weighed in to help develop other fields elsewhere. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone in the cafeteria want to speak? Oh, you came in. Okay, then I will recognize you next.
Hi, Chris Thompson from 178 Horse Pond Road again. What I understand from the purchase of the Brodiger's Farm property was that it's three parcels, that the first parcel was purchased out of available funds from the community preservation, and that the rest of the parcels, two and three, are coming up in the future. Another 4 acres, another 20 acres will be bought in future years at the current negotiation by an override bond that was voted by the town. I would appreciate if this million-plus dollars paid for parcel two, which is $962,000, outright, and we bought the land before we improved it, and that we reduced the bond and the tax liability to the town in the future with this funding. So I would vote against this. It feels like the CIAC hasn't had their chance to talk about it. The Finance Committee is against it. It's a little bit of a money grab.
Okay, thanks. Ms. Klein, I can see the balcony. I'll get to you after Ms. Klein. I know that I passed you over last time, so I wanted to make sure we get to you.
Thank you. My name is Sherry Klein, 84 Concord Road, and I would also urge that this be defeated. I note the limited uses stated for the money in the article, and it excludes something that just tonight was stated as a priority by the Board of Selectmen, to wit, affordable housing. It limits the use of the money to specific purposes in specific places. The town is under a process of getting a master plan done, so it might be nice to know what the broader needs of the town are before this money is spent. And finally, I can't imagine how it could cost $350,000 to lay out fields. So I would urge that this be defeated.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Klein. Yes, in the balcony.
Hank Surrett, 58 Longfellow Road. When I came to town of Sudbury and moved here 41 years ago, preserving the rural character of the town was one of the important themes at town meeting. It's one of the reasons I came here. I wanted to live in a town that was available to get to the city but had a rural character. I was hoping that we defeat this tonight and that we dedicate this land entirely for conservation purposes, for open space purposes, so the rabbits and the deer have actually a place to spend time. We've overbuilt this town terribly, and so I would urge the defeat of this and that we reconsider the use of this property as open space.
Okay, thank you. I think we're ready to vote. I don't see other hands here. Hang on. And I'm hearing some grumblings. So I will bring in the election workers first. So I think we have everyone in that needs to be in the room to vote. So we're going to do this by show of hands, hopefully. Cards, sorry. Yes. Hands holding cards. Sorry, I'm in the wrong part of my script. Okay, the quantum required for this vote is two-thirds for it to pass. All in favor of the motion under Article 5, please raise your card. All opposed. The article fails in, or the motion fails, rather, in this room. Could you all be quiet, please? I need everyone to be quiet because we have not yet announced a vote result. I need to hear from the lecture hall and the...
The motion fails in the lecture hall.
Okay. And in the black box? Do we have... It failed in the cafeteria as well. So...
Black box. Don't all you black box people.
I'm not having any sound from the black box.
They're right next door.
Yeah, we're going to send a runner in to find out.
Motion fails in the black box.
Okay. It fails in the black box, so the motion failed under Article 5. So thank you, and have a good night.
It's
Oh, no, no, no. Don't go anywhere. Thank you.
Just one more vote.
Adjourn. Yes, a motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor. Thank you. All right, we are adjourned. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, everybody.